PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
The ancient models give the entire endeavor a bad name. What a gift, don't you think? From Mr. Wallace to the world. The outer colonies would never have flourished had he not bought Tyrell, revivified the technology. To say the least of what we do.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Oh yeah, everyone, that's right. Welcome to episode 281 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio with Drew Sacogburn. Drew!
Chris, I recently found out where you got the intro song from, and I've got to say, I am very disappointed.
Why? What? It's a good song.
It is a good song. It's an awful movie, Chris.
Oh, was it a movie?
Yeah.
What movie was it in?
The new Triple X movie. This is like the intro song for the new Triple X movie.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, wow, good for them.
I recently watched
The Return of Xander Cage.
Yeah. Because I was really bored, and it was sitting right there on Amazon.
Just sitting right there on Amazon. Yeah, it's right there.
So I watched it, and as like he walks into like some club, and it dropped that. This drop plays, and I was like, are you fucking kidding
me
right now?
That just means the music supervisors for that movie have great taste. That's all that means, Drew. First off, before we introduce our guests, I have to go over that current threat level. Current threat level is fire brick. Your threat level color is fire brick. Your reasons will be recorded. With us, first time guest, all he was hanging out with us when Anwar Superstar was here. Mr. Superstar, excuse me, he's the one who brought Mr. Superstar here. And now he is here as a guest. We're super excited to have him. He was a guest on Scotch and Good Conversation, fellow PFT Media show. I suggest you check that out. Look for the one featuring Boris Douglas Garbier.
It's an honor to be here.
Now, Boris, thank you for joining us, sir. How are you doing?
I am great. I do want to talk about Peter if I get a chance.
Well, let's talk about Peter right now. Let's do it.
Let me tell you about an experience that literally has changed the trajectory of my career. I appeared on his podcast, mm-hmm. within 2 months, 2 Orlando Sentinel articles, 2 more radio interviews, 2 television programs, newspapers, and articles. Totally changed
that was
where I was going. Completely, I can tie it in to Peter. So the power of the podcast is incredible. So, and Peter was very gracious because I went in there with a plan.
Yeah.
And once he realized I wasn't going to play and I was going to do it my way, he allowed me to. And you know what happened is he allowed me to have a stage where I got to talk about things I needed to get out of my system.
Sure.
You know, I'm out of the closet, but I did it publicly. I came out, I talked about being in recovery and all that, and it turned into this really juicy, interesting conversation.
It was a very good conversation, yeah. I mean, it's not called Scotch and Good Conversation for nothing. Peter is good. He doesn't give himself enough credit. He's good.
He's amazing.
At, like, amazing. Reading a person and guiding a conversation to some good, and also letting a person speak when they need to.
That is a
stuff.
Gift,
and,
because yeah. I think somebody else would have tried to control it,
mm-hmm.
but he just let it happen organically.
And he let you do what you felt you wanted to and needed to do it.
I needed to do it, and
resulted in a great show.
And it wasn't about me selling a product. I had to talk about me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so kudos, Peter.
Yes, PBT. What's up, Peter? That's the shout out to Scotch and Good Conversation air horn, Drew. That it's very specifically labeled there.
Oh, on that one. So what? So when you hit that later, it's a completely different button.
I have other
and
buttons. They're all different.
They're all different. So they're each specific air horns.
They're all different.
But okay. you guys have been doing the show for a while, right?
Since January 2013. Oh, much to Drew's dismay.
Yes. So what is your connection to SBK?
Oh, SBK.
That's Chris.
That's because I started on SBK Live on their nighttime show, the 7 p.m. show on Real Radio 104.1. And I started as their movie guy just once a week. I did a call-in segment. Then I started going in the studio. And then the segment became longer and longer. And then when the show got unjustly, unrightly canceled, this became a spin-off podcast. So technically, this is a spin-off show of SBK Live.
And my connection to that is my first radio segment was on 104.1 Connections, the Connection Show with the great Melissa Fox.
With Melissa Fox, there you go.
You stang.
Hey. Drew, that's the Real Radio Connections air horn. Did you hear the little tonal differences
I did, in the air horn?
I did notice the difference. Totally different.
You son of a bitch.
There you go. It's fun running into Real Radio like people that like, oh yeah, well I've done this it's with part the station.
Being,
like, yeah.
It's fun being part of that. Yes. You know, I remember in the 90s when I would drive to work to the school where I was, and I would hear Melissa introducing Howard Stern. Never did I think I was going to be part of that in any way or
form. In any way, right?
And Melissa is the best. The whole group is the best.
And she's got her show now, Connections, which can be heard on Real Radio, right? And
Not anymore. We're on a different radio.
It's amazing how quickly things change, Drew, just like that.
Oh, in the radio world,
Oh, especially in radio. You can show up to your station, to your rock show.
I've seen it myself.
And then they're like, oh, hey, welcome to, now it's La Rumba, and you're doing all Spanish.
Have fun.
And that happens all the time, actually. Yeah. Or country music seems to be extremely popular. Drew, please. No, these violent ends for such a petty hindrance. All right, here we go. Boris, we have a lot to talk about in the plug section, the second half of the show. I'm going to ask you about being the arts chair at Timaqua. I want to see what you got going on there. I also want to find out what you got going on at the art gallery at Mills. All right, so that's a lot going on there. And then I know you got this thing, David Bradbury.
Oh my God, twice Academy Award nominated film documentarian David Bradbury.
There you go. So we're definitely going to be talking to you about that during the plug section and the top of the second half of the show. But before we do that, we need to help out the people. It's very important to help the people. Mm-hmm. And we do that with the streaming pick of the week. Just go ahead and pop that top. Shake that box.
That's
pop that top.
Welcome to pick of the week.
Picks of the week.
Reach on plug one. Pick of the week. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We do this every week. We let you know what you can watch on Hulu, Amazon, Netflix, on any of the services. If you got it, there's so many options. Don't waste your time just looking at them. Actually watch something. Boris, please let everyone know what is this week's pick of the week.
Never Let Me Go.
Oh,
Netflix.
Man, this is an emotional one. Never Let Me Go on Netflix. Wrote that down. Thank you, sir. Great pick. Boris, this film. Let me tell you about Never Let Me Go. Adaptation of a novel by a Japanese author. And it's a book that's set, or the story, I should say, set in the one of these dystopian futures, right? Near future. Obviously, things have advanced, but it's not like too far down the line, right? The big thing about it is that it's it follows a group of young people who are in some sort of facility. And they're like they're closed off from the outside world, and they're being raised for something. And it's sort of like the movie The Island with Michael Bay. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Or even going further back, a Logan's Run type of scenario, where they're all being like they're people that are actually manufactured as like fodder for the populace at large, for people with money. These are merely just clones for like
parts
and stuff like that. This movie is like what 10 years old, I think.
2010,
so 8 years old now, starring Andrew Garfield, Carey Mulligan, and Keira Knightley.
Donald's in it, too.
And Domhnall Gleeson. Oh, look at that. So a great young cast, obviously because it's all characters who are like in their late teens, I believe. And so it's sort of a coming-of-age story, but a very, I gotta admit, it's a sad coming-of-age story. But it's so well-made. Extremely well-made. Mark Romanek is the director. He's a guy who started in music videos. He's known for music videos. He's only directed a handful of movies. His first movie was what's that Robin Williams film with the photo?
1 hour photo.
1 hour photo.
So creepy.
Do you remember that one from 15 years ago, Drew?
2002. Yeah.
That was Robin Williams' first.
I may have seen it because I like to see when comedians do horror movies. Yes. You know, because it doesn't always work. But
yeah.
I may have seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal when it happened back at the time.
Robin Williams played the bad guy.
And this is only a couple years away from like Patch Adams and Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah, sure. So great director, great direction, very understated, mm-hmm. you know, beautiful production design. It's a very, again, like I got to emphasize, very emotional, very character-driven story, and effective. Really, really well-made stuff, I got to say. Did you ever see this one, Drew?
Nope.
You never even saw it? See, Drew, there mm-hmm. you go. That pick of the week for you.
This never let me go. Is it a young adult novel turned into a...
No, it's not young adult. I think it would be considered... Maybe sci-fi? Just drama, sci-fi drama. Definitely intended for adults, not for youth. Again, like I said, it's a Japanese author, right? So I think it was written initially in Japanese and then translated, you know, spread around the world. That kind of cool thing. So, shout out to Rosetta Stone. This episode brought to you by Rosetta Stone.
No, it's not. That's they didn't
not
pay
true.
Us shit.
They didn't pay us nothing. That's not true. So here you go. Never Let Me Go is this week's streaming pick of the week, available on Netflix. Did you check to see if it's available anywhere else?
It is also available. No.
No. Sorry, Amazon and Hulu users.
No, actually, Hulu hey, Chris, hey, actually, it is not streaming anywhere. It is only available to rent and buy.
The whole point of you checking was to make sure that it was streaming, Drew.
You guys were talking about it. I got involved. You guys were talking about a movie I didn't see. I didn't check. Sir, would you like to pick another movie?
You gotta pick another movie, Boris.
I dropped the ball on that one, Chris.
Drew forgot to check, man. Everything is falling apart.
I didn't forget to check. I'm sitting here looking at
the
thing.
You just didn't check.
Neglected.
Oh my goodness, people.
See that it
people who torrent movies and steal them, I guess you can watch Never Let Me Go.
Or you can buy a rented
the unscrupulous ones. Boris, what is the next pick?
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh,
Amazon
really
Prime.
All right, it's a classic. Here we go. That's gotta be on there. Come on. Actually, this is a remake of this is coming out under a different title, like a loose remake with Rebel Wilson, I believe.
This is the fourth time this thing has been played, right? The original from 60s,
yes.
And the one in the 80s.
Yes. No, I think this will be the third one then. Because has there been another one since this one with Martin and Kane?
Yes, but with a different name.
Again, with a different name? That's like I was saying. This one's coming out now. It's also the different name. So, yeah, that's possible. Because, yes, even the one that we're referencing now, which is available where, Drew?
Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Epix.
And Epix, right. So they have multiple options. For Dirty Run, this itself is a remake.
So the first one had Brando, right? Brando
I believe so, yes.
And Niven, David Niven.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a generational thing that I prefer the 80s one? Because I grew up with that one, probably. You know?
I don't know. I just like Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. I love big Michael Caine. Big Michael Caine fans around here. That's mm-hmm. my Michael Caine impression. For
he's got a mustache in this one, though.
He does have a mustache. And very slicked back hair as well. Like, and there's a scene where he shows Steve Martin how to do it. So he has a comical, like, handfuls of gel that he smathers into his head. Like the pink gel. Very funny.
I have a Michael Caine connection.
Let's do it!
I worked at a private school in Maitland called the Kenworthy School.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Caine's wife's sister was one of the teachers there.
Get out of here. Wow.
I know.
Michael Caine's wife. So how could we exploit that? How can we use that to get Michael Caine on the show somehow? There's got to be a way.
We need to wait for the studio build out for that one, Chris.
I'll pay for an air flight. Whew, that's expensive.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, international flights are not. Yeah, he's gonna want first class.
I'll take out that ill-advised mortgage.
You can't put Michael Caine on in
on Frontier.
Yeah, he will not. No, not gonna happen.
Just strap Michael Caine down to that plastic bench. He'll be fine. They're like this will be totally worth it. Not blinking the whole time on the airplane. Fantastic movie, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Great comedy. Also, Steve Martin maybe at the height of his powers. It's like right after The Jerk. He's on in the midst of a great run of comedy coming off of SNL and all that stuff. I feel like he's maybe at his most popular at this point.
You know, Jerry Lewis said that playing comedy is harder than playing drama. And a lot of comedians, as they come to the end of their career, they like to play drama only.
No, yeah, and it's easier.
And they kick ass at it so hard.
Because yeah. I think that's right. I think comedy is taken for granted in that it is harder to pull
off. Well, it comes with the challenge of the audience is expecting to make them laugh.
Yeah.
And you don't. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a weird, rewarding, you did it.
Yes.
You know, and you then passed.
And then if you have that expectation, I'm here to laugh. They don't fulfill that in the beginning, it could become a feedback loop where, like, now this movie's not funny. And then as the jokes are coming, like, this isn't funny, and I'm not going to laugh at it because it's already set up failing in the beginning. You know, it feeds into itself, that type of thing. Comedies are.
I think comedians are in an interesting position because I think it's harder to make people laugh mm-hmm. than to make people cry. You can make people cry very easily. Stand next to a coffin with a dead child and look sad.
Yeah.
Easy.
Play some sad music, put it in black and white.
But to make somebody laugh,
to be fair, though, difficult. To be fair, Boris,
I mean,
if you showed some people the same image,
they might laugh
yeah. because they're horrible people in this mm-hmm. world. So yes, one person's yeah. trash is another's treasure. One yeah. person's drama is another comedy.
Uh-huh, correct.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know how to answer that.
I mean, I've got a lot of dead baby jokes in my repertoire.
Don't follow this guy down that road. He'll take you to some terrible places,
and really dark places.
Inside the mind of Drew Sakai. We'll get there a little bit later.
Okay, I'm a little worried. Okay.
Yeah.
Always be worried. Always. ABW. Always be worried. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Fantastic pick. Sorry, Never Let Me Go. We went from very sad to very funny, though. And actually, I can get behind that, so that's fine. All right, moving on now to... we're going to be talking about money. Stupid. What that box office recap. That's right, the top five movies of this Memorial Day weekend. Drew Sakagwin now. It's Memorial Day weekend. Do we actually have three-day estimates?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sometimes they don't report. They wait until Monday and just give us...
I think the numbers are out. They came out today.
But on four-day weekends with holidays, sometimes they wait. In the past, they've waited till the fourth day, but I guess it's come out. So here we go. What we got?
Number five.
Number five.
Life of the Party.
Life of the Party.
Made $5.1 million. Total 39.
39 in 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know Melissa McCarthy. That's why Melissa McCarthy gets to make movies. Because in 2 weeks, that thing made $40
million. Oh, 3 weeks.
In 3 weeks, it made $40 million on a budget of what?
Not listed.
Probably, it's got to be under $10 million. It's like a simple comedy.
Yeah.
A college, you know, set in one location. She's the only real star in it, yeah. right?
I don't know how much those kids are making. Who knows? Maybe some of those kids are popular. I don't know.
Probably not. They're probably making wage, prices. Scale. That's what I'm going to say. Scale wage. Melissa McCarthy, are you a fan, Boris?
Absolutely, but... Listen, when a movie costs $10 million, she's not taking salary. She's taking points.
No, she's taking whatever. Yeah, she is getting her cut yeah. for sure. And then on a lesser, for this one in particular, her husband directed it. Mm-hmm. So her husband's getting then a smaller, so
they own
but
like
still a good
30%
slice.
Of yeah. everything.
Which is why all the kids are getting the lower wages.
I like yeah. McCarthy. I liked her Bridesmaids, I think.
Yeah, that was perfect. The big breakup for her.
And
yeah.
She did a lot of okay movies. Mm. I think this Muppet thing is going to be the...
Muppets are so hit and miss, you know. I feel
yeah,
like,
but this is a Muppet.
Oh, this is the Happy Time Murders.
The yeah, Happy yeah. Time
but the rated R Muppet movie.
But even then, even rated R Muppets are hit and miss. Sometimes you have an Avenue Q, people yeah. love it, and then sometimes
no. But this is connected to our childhood. Remember, they say, "All no Sesame, Old Street," and then the one character is coming against the wall like he's having have a fire yeah, hose.
Well, have you ever seen Meet the Feebles? Have you done that,
no,
that one? Meet the Feebles?
No interest. To me, there was no connection. This connects to everybody. And Mr. Rogers, the documentary is coming out.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
this renaissance.
There is a renaissance of
it's nostalgia.
70s, 80s children programming, which is very interesting. Is it just purely nostalgia?
It is.
Yearning for a better
nostalgia.
Time? I definitely feel like
quote,
the old...
Unquote,
and they
time.
Have
yeah.
dream advertising in the sense that somebody from Sesame Street is suing them now for that.
Which is, yeah, that's the thing you don't want to do.
It can't get better. It's awesome.
Disney, they made the right move in this movie, Escape from Tomorrow, that was shot inside the park with GoPro cameras, a black and white
I
movie.
I never saw it. Is it worth it?
No.
It's
worth it just to see if how they use Disney for
yeah,
production design.
Exactly. Is it kind of a horror, nervous breakdown movie?
Yes, yeah. It's about a guy who's going through a nervous breakdown yep. during the course of a day, also while very creepily following these very young girls. And
it is a little weird.
I never trust Netflix reviews because you only have the whatever Netflix says and then the reviews.
I mean, if
I
you're...
Just don't
well,
believe
yeah, their algorithm, you can't really
the
trust
way I
what
see,
they're doing
if
there.
You're, if you're interested... in like how the movie was made,
a filmmaking aspect of,
because it's the only movie ever to be made on Disney property.
Yeah, without their permission.
Without the permission. Yeah. So that in itself is a feat on its own.
But then,
other than that, it's really not worth
but
it.
How did they allow it?
Here's the thing: they did it. But here's what I think would happen. So then Disney, they got eyes on it because it played at a festival where it surprised a bunch of people. Disney people saw it and they're like, you know what? This movie isn't good.
No.
So it's not going to catch on.
Nope.
It'll be a blip. If we ignore it, it'll go away, which is what they did. They ignored it. They even let them have marketing where the poster is like Mickey's hand with the
blood.
And
they were like, you know what, fine.
Very, very provocative, interesting. They let it go, and then the movie came out to no fanfare.
And then it went away.
And then it went away because it's not good. And then, so Disney, very smart there. Now, if they started suing...
Oh, it'd be over.
The people who made that movie be doing what Drew and I would do, which is frame the cease and desist letters, put it on Instagram, be like, yeah, Disney, come for us, bro. We got no money, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We will stop what we're doing.
So I think, suing the puppet people,
that's not smart. Movie, and I am not one for gimmick movies. Well, that's not true. I do like gimmick movies, but I think this one's going to be interesting because it's... I like Melissa when she is down and dirty and in there and not trying to be pretty. And I think the last movie, The Boss, whatever that was.
Yes.
It was a terror. She had just lost weight. She was looking good. You can tell she wanted to wear, you know, beautiful gowns and jewelry and makeup and be a lady. Mm-hmm. And it...
So you're talking about, like, remember the movie The Heat she did with Sandra Bullock?
That was still fun.
I enjoyed that one.
That was still good.
I really liked that one. I thought they were great together in that. Mm-hmm. I actually want to see more movies with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
I thought they made a great duo. Like a Lady Laurel and Hardy type of thing going on. So that was number five? What's number four?
Number four. Book Club made $9.4 million, total of 31.
There you go. A bunch of older ladies read 50 Shades of Grey.
And then get freaky.
Very, I feel sad for older audiences that this is the type of, like, they can't get
this
better
movies.
This
is what's being pandered
this
to
is,
them.
This is how they're using this amazing cast.
Mm-hmm.
What's, like, read the cast off.
Oh, dude, the cast is ridiculous.
Candace Bergen's in it, for crying out loud.
Jane Fonda. Alicia Silverstone, Mary Steenburgen, Diane Keaton, Andy Garcia, Don Johnson, Candace Bergen, Richard Dreyfuss, Craig T. Nelson.
Being wasted on a movie that's about a book that's an adaptation of Twilight.
Okay, please, let there be a scene with a chainsaw in there.
Please do. And Leatherface.
Yes.
Shows
that'd be
up.
Awesome.
And then Leatherface takes off the mask, reveals it's Diane Keaton the whole time with a mock turtleneck.
Doesn't have to take off a mask.
No, she doesn't. Multiple masks. She's got those, you know, she's always covering the, always wearing, it could be 90 degrees outside and she's wearing the long sleeves. We love Diane Keaton. She's a quirky wonder. Book Club, good for them making money. They actually made the movie. It came out in theaters. People saw it. Good
Be honest. Yeah. Are you going to see it?
No.
No, hell no.
Never.
What's the point?
Never. Maybe if my mom saw it and said it's really good. But, you know, no, honestly, if the Rotten Tomatoes scores came around, it was like, oh, 90% of critics like this movie, the consensus is that it's a well-made movie, then I would watch it.
57%,
it's not worth. It's
add
not
a watching. Chainsaw, I'm there. Otherwise, forget it.
There you go. We'll do the mashup version that includes chainsaw somehow. So that's number four. Well, then what's number three?
Number three this week, Avengers Infinity War made an additional $16.49 million. Total of 621 domestic, 1.2 foreign... Okay. $1.9 billion worldwide. Right.
Okay.
So it's now 4 and 8. Fourth highest domestic and 8th largest in the world.
Yes, and fourth highest all time worldwide? Or
now, you're guys, right? Explain this to me. How come when we see those movie lists, they never bring in the foreign movies? Those are just American movies. I'm sure foreign movies in China are making more.
They don't They really don't. Which chaps a hide of the Chinese government so bad.
I mean,
but there has been a Chinese movie that made like $700 million. It's not on the American list.
No, not... there will be on the worldwide. Look on the worldwide list to see where. What's that movie? Wolf Warrior 2?
All time worldwide.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that one was like that. I think that may even be China's biggest movie to date.
It would be like the I think 10th I mean, largest grossing in the world, but it's not on the list.
No, it's nowhere near.
So what do we got for Wolf Warrior?
I'm still looking on. Wolf Warrior 2 is number 59 all time worldwide.
There you go.
Making $870 million.
That's an incredible amount of money for a movie that never even came out theatrically in America. Imagine if it made another $100 million.
No.
I think that's the biggest, maybe one of China's biggest films. Yeah.
Do I have to school you, boys?
Yeah, if you can find, what can you find? I mean, Drew is on Box Office Mojo, which
but
is...
But that's what I use. But $870 million would qualify for...
59. Number 59.
For all-time worldwide.
All-time worldwide.
Wow. Yeah, oh, don't put that next to this scale there. It makes a weird noise, no problem.
Sorry.
Yeah, so if that movie... And then, see, that's the thing. Yeah. China wants movies like that to come out here in America.
I mean,
because then it would make another... 200, 300 million, maybe.
Who's to say China is not making American movies already?
Well, that's the thing. They have their movies, yeah. But although, was it Alibaba? No, one of the companies just pulled all of their money from Paramount. Paramount was just making a lot of movies with Chinese money, and then that Chinese company just pulled all that stuff back. And I think that's because the Chinese government, and we reported on the show before, they're cracking down on, because they control all the movie screens in China, and they have a percentage of what movies can be foreign to them and what are domestic, what are Chinese-made movies, and they want to increase the amount of Chinese movies. So when they go to a theater and they see Avengers, they get mad, because they want that to be Wolf Warrior 3, Once Upon a Time in China 4, stuff like that. You know?
Okay, so question. So I don't watch any of these Avenger movies. I'm sorry.
Hey, you know what?
You're really not missing anything.
And I don't think they're hurting for your $15.
Yeah, no.
You know, but the thing is, are there superheroes that are Asian, or do you think they're going to come up with a new one that they're going to include with the Avengers?
They
need to.
Is there any Asian?
No, actually, I know they are.
Culture in the United States movies, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like
it's
any
coming. My prediction
Asian
within the next five
Well, I mean, right
years.
Now, yeah. the new Incredible Hulk, not Bruce Banner. There's a
you
new
mean,
Incredible
you mean
Hulk.
In the comic books?
Yeah.
Interesting.
In the comic books, there's another Incredible Hulk now, who's not Bruce Banner, and he's Asian American, I think. Not straight up Asian.
Do you know if he's Chinese? Because
no idea.
Because with China becoming such a gigantic market, it is such a gigantic market.
Okay, and what about Green Lantern is gay now, right?
Well, the thing is, there's multiple Green Lanterns. So there's a white one, there's a black one, could be a gay one. There's a Spanish gay Spider-Man, because Spider-Man's just a mess.
Wait, there's a Spanish gay Spider-Man?
Morales.
Miles Morales, he's gay.
He's gay and he's Spanish.
Oh, sorry, he's Korean. He's Korean.
No, but he's gay.
Korean-American, okay, Korean.
He's gay in the movies?
In the comics.
In the comics.
Okay,
so
this is where
and that's the thing, but that's where these things start, and then they make their way.
So they're different
the
universes. I've heard that term. So the comics and the movies and the TV shows, and the specials, they are not aligned.
Correct. For the most part, yes. Yeah. So that's why then you can have characters that are like the same character,
like
but played by different
so
actors.
So like, if you're a gay person that wants to see their characters in different races. So it's going to... Eventually, do you think that's what it's going
to
be?
Eventually, yes. It'll hopefully not going to get to a point where there'll be more diversity in our superhero characters. So it'll be more for us
but
to choose from.
But here's the thing. It's got to be organic or nobody will take hold of it. Like, it's got to be done in the right way. Like, you can't just force feed people...
Okay,
characters.
But it already sounds super complicated.
They've tried doing it in the 90s, and it didn't fly.
Yeah, it's tricky introducing people, but people are hungry for these things. I mean, I'm ready for the first Puerto Rican superhero. I mean, come on. We have all these... We just saw a movie, Drew, Avengers Infinity War, that had 40 characters, all these superheroes. Not a single one of them was Spanish. The only Spanish students from outer space.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Not one single Hispanic.
Single Hispanic in the group. You look, it's a crowd of white faces.
That's all white people.
You know what? They did have a Spanish actress.
Wait,
they painted her
green. And a black guy.
And a black guy. They put him in a metal suit.
I was about to say there had to be
two
an African American.
There are two black guys. There are two black guys, but a second black guy was just introduced this February.
And Asians. No Asians?
No Asians. Okay. No, Wong. Benedict Wong.
Okay.
Yeah. Doctor Strange's sidekick.
No correct. Gays?
No, no one's gay.
No disabilities?
Disabilities, that depends, because a lot of there are the whole thing where a character, like, think of Cyclops, X-Men.
Yeah.
He has an eye thing, but that's where his powers
I'm
are.
I'm talking
his
wheelchair.
Professor X
totally can't walk.
There it is.
Also, yeah. And nowadays, Don Cheadle, I mean,
Don Cheadle, technically, he's paraplegic, and
he needs a suit to walk.
He has a suit that's walking him, pretty much.
See, this is this all-inclusive thing that we're going to get,
yeah.
Where, like, everyone's covered. No one's going to be able to sue or complain.
Sure.
You know?
Well, why not? I mean, for so long, movies only featured white, straight white men, and that's only a part of your audience. Gay people go to movies, Spanish people go to movies, Black people go to movies. They want to see the same kind of movies featuring characters that just look like them.
But how do you feel about characters being converted to other races or genders just to appease the audience?
I'm fine with that as long as it's a character that is traditionally a white male and then changing that to anything else.
Why not create special other? I mean, to me, it's like you can't even create a hero for a Hispanic person. You're going to take an old white character and turn him. Because that's disturbing.
Because it's trying to find that balance. I'm not saying I condone this, but it's trying to find that balance between appealing to an audience with a character that they know, a James Bond, a Spider-Man. It's a built-in audience. But then we also want to change it to appease, to make it more inclusive. And yeah, that's a tricky road to travel. Just think of when Daniel Craig was announced as James Bond. Everyone
People
flipped
freaked out because he was blonde.
He had blonde hair. James Bond should be a brunette.
Yeah, he was blonde haired and blue eyed. People were like, oh my freaking God.
So imagine those same people were like, well, how about Idris Elba as James Bond? Hey, they would just have a heart attack and die in their seat.
But what? But he's got brown hair and brown eyes.
Oh, that's true. So actually, maybe they will like it.
What's more controversial? A female James Bond or a black James Bond?
That's a great question.
Can I get a black lady? Can I get a black gay lady James Bond?
Tiffany Haddish, black American lady James Bond. That's a great question. I think based on this country, based on our last three elections technically, the populace would be more fine with a black male Bond.
Black
than they
Panther
would.
Is the answer to your question.
Black Panther's huge, but we're talking about Black Panther already exists. This goes back to your thing about changing a character. To change a traditional white man to a black man would be less offensive, I think, to people, quote offensive, than changing the gender of that person to a woman. Because then the idea of now, oh no, a woman is quote as capable as a man. You have those assholes that are stepping forward. She can't be a spy. She's a woman.
Yes,
she has to have babies and cook for us. You know, that type of thing. Well, that's the reason why we elected Obama twice, but Hillary couldn't win despite having the popular vote. That makes no sense. Yeah.
So it's like this. So I'm openly gay, and I used to love...
Wait, what?
No, yes.
Wait,
excuse- I used to love science fiction movies from the 70s and 80s and 90s. And later in therapy, after I got sober, I talked about that, and the therapist pointed out to me, it's probably because you thought in the future, quote-unquote, it was okay to be gay.
Sure.
Can you name any movies from the 70s, 80s, and 90s that have openly gay characters? There are no gay characters.
No.
Now they're appearing now,
yes,
in retrospect. But the message that like Hollywood is giving in the future, back then, there are no gay people. That's been toned out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, yeah. That's
very true.
I've got to have a really awful joke about that.
Please do not.
He works in a kitchen. He's full. He's an encyclopedia of just the worst of humanity.
Yeah, I am kidding. Let's hear it. Come on.
I don't know. Oh, no, Drew. No. Oh. Okay, fine.
Can you name the black guy on the Jetsons?
Okay, I'm not talking.
Oh, Rosie, the black character. You say black guy, the black character.
Yeah, name the black character on the Jetsons, and then and they go through, and they're like, and then the joke goes, and it's completely awful. But there are no black people. Isn't the future great?
That's terrible.
Boom.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
And the Jetsons is very racist.
But no, but
there are no black characters.
But, I mean, but,
or
but
Spanish
in the Jetsons,
characters.
There's nothing but white people in the Jetsons, and they all live up in the sky on stilts because they've destroyed the world. Because
they destroyed the world. Yeah, Jetsons is a horrible future.
Yeah. Yes, it's a dystopian future.
Yeah.
What's the side story to the Jetsons?
Exactly.
Was there an atomic holocaust or something?
No, see, there is. No, nobody says anything.
It's never explained. In the lore of Jetsons, it's never explained. They just live in the sky.
It's the future, so they live in the sky.
Yeah,
hey,
that's
all.
But let's talk about porn.
What about it?
Let's talk about porn. I'm all about it. I watch it incessantly, and my therapist says I have a problem.
Yeah. Of course.
That's not true. I don't go to a therapist. Drew, you don't have to go see Avengers Infinity War. You know, and Boris, I know what it's like, too, to be on the outside of a cultural phenomenon. I'm not the biggest fan of Harry Potter.
I've seen all the movies.
Never seen any of them. Proud of it.
Never read any of the books.
Never.
Have seen all the movies.
You've seen all the movies.
I cannot tell you a single thing about any of them except for maybe the third one.
The third one or the fourth one.
The one with Gary Oldman. That's all I care about.
I think that's the third one.
It's the one with Gary Oldman.
So I know what it's like to see something that's huge and gigantic and be like,
yeah, whatever.
And it's not that I've never been part of, I have to see a movie and stand in line. And I think it's because maybe I'm trying to stand out and be myself and not be one of the masses. But besides that, I can wait for a movie to come out. nothing is a secret anymore. After the premiere, everybody knows the plot.
That's true.
I mean, you just have to make sure not to read the Wikipedia or talk to the people that are going to give I can wait for Netflix.
Sure.
It's just...
I still like the... Here's my thing, especially these days, because I have, like, my phone's in my pocket now, but nine times out of ten, if you see me, I have my phone in my hand. If
and
I'm watching a movie...
at a tiny screen.
If I'm having a, watching a movie at home, I put on the movie at home, I have my phone in my hand, and I'm Twittering and doing stuff while I'm watching TV. So when I go to a movie theater, I'm not going to do that. My phone is away. It's on silent. I'm sitting there watching the movie. I'm giving myself over to the movie in a much more specific way. I think just the act of going to the theater, handing over my money, then I'm committing myself more to the act as opposed to, oh, I have thousands of movies at my fingertips here on my TV. Let me just pull this one up randomly, and here's my phone, Twitter.
It's like practicing your religion publicly and privately. Publicly, you're at least going to dress up and be quiet. Yeah. And
it's like going to church, Chris.
Give money.
That's great.
Privately, you can do it in the toilet, farting, praying. You
that's
know
so
I mean?
True.
Like it's...
Yeah, that's so true. That's a great... I often say why I would usually would go to the movies on Sunday quite regularly. My church was the movie theater.
It is a very symbolic.
It's a holy place. It's a sacred place where you're be quiet. Put your phone away. Yeah, this is quiet. We're watching the violence on screen.
Watching Jesus getting beaten.
Yeah, we're watching Melissa McCarthy shit in the sink.
Quiet, this girl's about to get raped.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Kathy.
I just watched Girls Trip. And that's the one with, in the trailer, even showing the trailer.
Pee scene.
There's a pee scene where they go to New Orleans and they're going to zip line between buildings and Jada Pinkett Smith, her character, has to use the bathroom. They're like, use the bathroom in the other building. She gets in a zip line, gets stuck halfway through over a crowded street, and then she pees and it comes out on everyone and it comes out like a water sprinkler. In the movie, you see the full scene. Drew, an ungodly amount of urine comes out of this lady.
Gallons.
It makes no sense how much. And then Tiffany Haddish, she swings, she gets on the harness, she swings, kicks, and then kicks Jada Pinkett's character so she can get to the end, but then she stops in the middle, and then she just free lets it go. She's like, yeah, and then she's peeing on everyone, and it comes out.
Is that comedy?
This is a yes, Boris. Very much a comedy. Weird. Very much a comedy.
I can't tell anymore.
I know.
Weird.
Here's the thing, though. When I saw the movie, when I saw the trailer, I thought it was very much going to be a big, big comedy like that. A lot of stuff like peeing on people. But then, no, there's actually a whole plot about, like, relationships and put it on a public face and all this stuff. And I was like, I want more pee jokes. Come on, guys. Tiffany Haddish is a treasure.
Number two this week.
Number two.
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2.
Made an additional $42.7 million, total of $207 after 2 weeks.
Deadpool, Boris, these are the kind of movies where if you're not into comic books, you're not into superheroes, you may like Deadpool. You may like
it. It's just a funny movie.
Because it's so weird, it's so different, and very funny.
And the main character is like a Spider-Man thingy person.
Yeah, he's a mutant.
Yeah.
The first movie explains how he gets his, quote, powers, and he's just a person who, well, what is he? He's like accelerated healing, so he can never die, pretty much.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so, and he has like a cancer that's killing him.
Yeah, had a cancer.
He had a cancer. This thing it kills the cancer, but then it also his skin gets all messed up. Anyway, but his point is that he's a very he breaks the fourth wall purposefully. He looks at the audience and makes jokes about the movie that he's in while he's in it. So if you're into something that's like different and weird, this is your one shot for
that. Well, obviously they're succeeding because breaking the fourth wall is very difficult and it freaks out the audience.
Yes, because it takes you out of the movie. Like, I'm trying to be sucked into this thing, and then the character looks at you like, hey, you're an audience member. This is all artifice. But that's the way the Deadpool characters established.
I mean, it's hard to pull off.
Very hard to pull off, yeah.
But in two weeks worldwide, it's made $500 million.
$500 million in 2 weeks, and Deadpool 2, I got a lot of money. Yeah, it's a fun movie. We really enjoy it. We did a spoiler-filled bonus episode last week, as well as our spoiler-free episode. So,
yeah, all right, number one, come
What's
on.
What's number one?
Solo, Star Wars Story.
Oh, yeah, that's right!
Come on. Star Wars.
That's a new Star Wars theme song.
All right,
so oddly enough, though, it only made $83 million.
Okay, so here's the thing. What went wrong? I haven't seen it, never will.
Only $83
But everybody
million.
Is complaining about
it. You know what? I've only seen... Yeah, I would say it's like... From what I've seen online, 70-30 people who are more ambivalent towards it than really like it. Only a small portion of people are really,
Did
really
Disney
like
screw it up?
I don't know. Well, Lawrence Kasdan legend of industry, Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote much of the original Star Wars, wrote this one. Ron Howard, another legend of industry, has been around forever, so is George Lucas. He directed it. So it's not like it's a purely Disney-fied product. It's still a Lucasfilms movie. Yeah. They had George Lucas on set.
Is he connected to storyline, plot, or is he there as an advisor?
He's there as like a friend. Yes, yeah. And then giving hints here and there, tips. George, what do you think Han would do here? What would he do there? And he'll give him ideas. But he's mostly there just to hang out and see what's going on. Drew and I, we did a spoiler-filled episode, people can hear, where we talk about all the details of the story. But spoiler-free, I can surmise. I mean, we both liked it.
I mean, it was good enough.
It was good enough. That's the problem.
No.
Okay.
It's so good,
it had,
good
like,
enough. Good I think enough, there which were, isn't. Which isn't.
I
good
think
enough.
In the entire film, there were like two breakout scenes. And we talked about those. Mm-hmm. And other than that, the movie was pretty forgettable and a lot of fan service.
Here's the problem. It feels like the type of movie where, and this is what I thought was the problem to begin with, it has no purpose.
Correct.
It has no point other Zero. Than to make money.
This is a movie about one of the characters highlighting their younger years
yes.
and shit like
about
that.
About
right?
the Harrison Ford character. Yes. Yeah. About him when pretty much when he's
it's
a 20-year-old.
It's just an origin story.
It's his
a
origin.
Completely unneeded origin
so
story.
So this is yeah. an opening to a side of the franchise. So if this goes well, there's 10 of these. And
yep.
then there'll be one of each of the main characters.
Yep.
Luckily for all of us, this is not going well, so hopefully Solo will be a solo endeavor.
Like a month ago, they were thinking this was going to make up to $175 million
opening
weekend.
Opening and it made 83, that, right? 85.
Yes, which is not good. Not good at all. Yeah.
All it does mean, it does mean, though, that, just because it's a Star Wars movie doesn't mean it's going to strike gold.
It doesn't mean people are going to come out for it, yeah.
All right, prediction. I think it's going to make around 400.
Total worldwide?
Here, no, United States.
Just here?
Just here.
Based on 83?
Here, no. It probably won't even break 350 domestic.
I'm going to put it at I'm going to give it a 3X. So if it's 80 opening weekend, 240. Less than 250. I don't even think it'll break 250 million.
No, because Batman, the last Superman Batman thing that what was it?
Justice League?
Yeah, that was a disaster. And
that
barely make 200, right? Or
yeah, that barely made 200 here in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
400. I'm going with 400.
400. Right? Yes. That's pretty optimistic based on the opening weekend.
It's going to have a bump in week two.
You think so? Because
Absolutely.
Of word of mouth?
Absolutely.
It helps, and we're going to talk about this in a second, that there are no big movies coming out next weekend.
Here's
so it has a little bit of breathing room before the next big blockbuster mm-hmm. comes.
Like, every time a big movie like this comes out, even though I won't see it, I get excited.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about this excites me.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I wasn't. That's the thing. So that's the thing. We went into this with lowered expectations, which then I think helps that. Helps that we kind of liked it a little bit. So there you go. People, you can listen to our Solo spoiler-filled review. It's a whole bonus episode. We talk about it for like a good 45 minutes. So there we go. Definitely a lot to say about that one if you don't care about the deets and spoilers. Spoiler alert, Han Solo doesn't die. Obviously.
Hey, because we know what he dies
because,
in episode.
Because he dies in another movie.
Yeah, that's one of
and he's
ones.
A kid in this way. This is so dumb. All right, here we go. We got new movies coming out on DVD this week. Drew, did you know DVD doesn't stand for digital video disc anymore?
What does it stand for?
Digital video download.
So that's a new adaptation of
Yes, it. So they can keep calling it DVD. So I can say this week in DVD Divin. Without feeling like an idiot, because no one gets DVDs anymore.
Yeah, true that.
Do you?
I don't have cable. I only get Netflix old-fashioned DVDs.
So you're one of the 3 million.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, so you're
one
people.
I
yeah,
am one of
go.
Them, yep.
I resubscribed to the DVD service last year for a little while because they just have movies
More
that you can't get.
Choices.
So it's amazing. The best selection in the world, really. But because of the lack of time I had, those movies were just sitting on my coffee table, and they were just sitting there not being watched. I
watch
man, I'm
a
just
movie
spending this money.
Over four nights. I come home, I have half an hour, I sit with the dog, kill half an
sure.
hour movie. And so it's almost like a mini-series.
Yeah, exactly. I've been doing that a little more lately this year to try to watch more movies. Yeah, I've been more willing to stop a movie and then pick it up the next day, as opposed to trying to, you know, stay up to 1 in the morning watching all in one sitting. So new movie on DVD this week. If you were into sci-fi and weirdness,
I love sci-fi.
Then you may like
sci-fi
this one.
Horror used to be my favorite.
Really?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Oh, well, then you may be on the fence with this one, Drew. On DVD this week, Annihilation.
Mm. Oh, I've got it in my queue.
You got it?
Want to see that bad?
We were big fans of it.
Okay, good.
It's a weird one.
It's very weird, but you know, in the right way, not weird for weird's sake.
This is the one with Natalie.
Yes.
Yes, I want to see that. Yes. So bad.
I'm a big fan of hers. I think she's a great actress.
I just like the director. Everything's done pretty much.
And the director,
fantastic.
Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina. Did you ever see that one? Another sci-fi movie?
What Dread.
Is it? Yeah.
Ex Machina was great.
Yeah.
And then he wrote Dread, which is fantastic. The most recent adaptation of Judge Dredd. You don't seem like you'd be a big Judge Dredd fan.
I liked the first one with Sylvester
Stallone.
You liked
it, did you really?
That one was great. Now, the new one, he never takes off the fucking mask.
Well, because he never takes it off in the original, in the strip. They've been writing Dredd since the 70s. He's never taken off his mask.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And you know what? It'd be a problem if he took off his mask. Because he'd be like, God damn, it's Carl Urban.
I know,
there.
Right?
He's an incredibly handsome man. Why has he got that mask on? Stallone, I understand the mask. Yeah. Carl Urban. Actually, we're going to talk about Stallone a little bit in a second.
You know, it got confusing because there were a lot of characters that looked like that guy.
That's true,
And at one point, I don't know how to say it. I couldn't figure out who was who.
That's true. Later in the movie, they introduce other judges, and they all keep their masks on as well. Yeah. Aside from, like, the one black guy. You're like, I don't know who's who.
No, he's dead.
Oh, and the one girl who then gets shot.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. They shoot the women in that movie. Annihilation and comes out. It's a fun movie. We
I
really enjoyed it.
Throw them off the top.
I cannot wait.
And throw them off the tops of buildings.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
In slow motion.
Drew, what's going on in theaters?
In theaters this week.
It's a slower weekend.
A movie that I wanted to see at the Florida Film Fest. But apparently now it's getting a wide release. American Animals.
American Animals, a movie about a bunch of dudes who think they're in a movie, so they try to do like some sort of robbery or something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Looks interesting. Young cast.
Are they mentally ill?
I think so.
Perhaps.
Yeah. It seems that way. But then again, what young American male isn't mentally ill?
Anyway. Also coming up this weekend. Oh, so glad these trailers are finally going to go away. Adrift.
Adrift. We've seen this trailer a lot. It's about a young couple who goes sailing on a 1,000-mile sailing trip, just the two of them, and then they sail into a
hurricane,
a Category 5 hurricane, and then they survive, but barely. And then they have to survive adrift at sea.
Is there a chainsaw?
Maybe.
Probably not.
It would get the chainsaw would get water clogged with the the gas
and they run out of gas
and the oil.
That sounds horrible.
It is directed by the guy who. I think his best movie is the last one he did, Everest. Remember that one, Drew? It's
a
mountain climbing movie. Pretty good movie about real life survival, so maybe this will be a similar thing. I do like Shailene Woodley, even though she also seems dumb. But anyway. Well, she's the type of person who's like, I'm not a feminist because I like men. She's like, well, then you're stupid.
Also coming out this weekend, the new Johnny Knoxville joint, Action Point.
Okay, this the college kid in me wants to see this movie.
Okay, the only reason why I want to see this movie is because this is the next evolution of Jackass.
Yes, it is.
This is not just doing
not just stunts
and getting hurt for the sake of doing stunts and getting hurt. Now there's a story that they're going to try to tell through the stunts.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Bad Grandpa was a good idea. Almost.
Yeah,
this
is the next evolution even.
So yeah, Bad Grandpa feels like a half step between
Okay, the kid was amazing. The kid killed.
Without the kid, without the kid, you ain't got a movie really. Sorry, Johnny Knoxville, without that kid.
The scene in the beauty contest.
Yes.
That was what everybody remembered.
And everyone was freaking out about it.
Everybody, that's amazing.
100%, you're right. You just reminded me about that scene. That's such a great scene.
That's the greatest scene.
Now, I've seen this trailer a few times. I'm into it. Every time they show them hurting themselves, essentially, because what this movie is, Boris, have you seen any marketing for Action Point? You know what? I haven't really, besides for a few times I've seen it in movie theaters, I haven't seen commercials or anything.
It looks like somebody makes a homemade theme park.
So there's a real place called Action Park. There was a real place. It was in New Jersey in the 80s, and it was in this small town. And it was a very dangerous place. Like, all the rides were made out of concrete, and they had loop-de-loops that couldn't be completed, so you go halfway up and then fall down and break your neck. The place was so bad that it was called Action Park, and it got the nickname Traction Park, because that's how many people were being injured at that park. And now this was the 80s, so it was harder to get it shut down. And then also, apparently, allegedly, the owner of the place, the guy who was running the whole thing, had some connections with the local police and, you know, the dirty money, that type of thing. So he was able to stay open longer than he should have. And
so he was charging money to stupid young people to possibly get injured?
Yep.
Yes.
And it was open for years.
Wow.
For years and years and years.
A documentary about that sounds interesting.
A documentary sounds amazing, but they just went ahead and made a fictional story called Action Point. But, I mean, it takes place in Jersey.
Action Pointless, you mean?
Yeah, probably. Well, no, the point is, let's watch people Johnny Knoxville get himself really, really hurt. Apparently, he suffered a pretty gnarly eye injury.
Ooh, can't wait to see it.
Yeah, yeah, so we'll see. It's a scene where he gets the piece of wood in his eye, mm-hmm. and then he screams for 10 minutes. Yeah.
So you really got the piece of wood in his eye?
Well, make sure you see it in 3D.
Awesome.
What else is coming out?
That's it.
Oh, that's it? All right, Drewster Cogburn. It's time for Chris Reed's Sexy Poems. That's right, Boris. This is one of our newest segments in which I read sexy poetry to Drewster Cogburn. So here we go. This one is from one of our listeners. His name is Ron. Ron sent an erotic haiku. Drew, you ready?
Okay.
Drew, look at me. His cock brings me joy.
Oh my god.
My vagina has control.
Oh my god.
Femininity. Thank you very much. That's it. That was Chris Reed's Sexy Poems. If you want me to read your sexy poem, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, I'll read it while looking at you right
now. I was about to say, we're making eye contact the whole time to make it extra weird.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so one of the things I was going to talk about is that I have allowed my character, Boris the Curator, to be shown in documentaries and in a couple of sexy novellas.
So what?
If you want to read something interesting, do it right here. Start right here.
All right, I'm going to do
right
it.
There, right there.
Here we go. I'm going to pull. Oh, I got to bring my sexy music back. Here we go. Wait, where's my sexy music? Okay. All right, here we go. As he drew her near, London felt a twinge of regret that it wasn't Carrie. Drew, look at me. It had been nearly 5 weeks since they last kissed. Boris's lips were moist and warm. By the time London realized they were parting, it was too late. Boris's tongue was in her mouth, toying with hers before she could gracefully stop him. He pulled her closer still and ran his hand up her back, finding the nape of her neck and tipping her head upward toward his. Afterward, she hoped the camera had not caught her relaxing into the embrace just before she pushed away. Thank you very much. If you want to hire me to read your sexy poems for your nighttime listening, p2radionetwork@gmail.com. I'll read all your sexy poems for a price. But if you want it for on the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and then I'll read it to Drew.
Yep, while staring me.
So what was I just reading? What was that? Boris, I'm just having
okay. I don't know.
So, one of the people I'm going to talk about is Dr. Carmen McGinnis. She's a respected psychologist.
Okay.
And she started writing these sexy adult psychological romances.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And she's the lady that I work with at the gallery. So she said, hey, I love your name. I love the gallery. Can I create a character that's based on you, that's straight, that is kind of a dog? And I was like, please.
That's awesome.
I've been in this one, in the sequel, and the third one.
So the Boris that I said was you, the straight version of you.
That's the dog.
The straight dog version.
I only kiss if there's a camera.
If there's a camera into the alley. That's fantastic.
That's great.
That's hysterical. All right, Drew. Now it's time for you to take that spotlight, sir. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right. Here with your prescription for life is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Well, Chris, it seems that I wield an amazing amount of power these days. Last week, I told people not to go see Star Wars.
That's true, you did.
And to do something else with their lives. And apparently they listened to me because nobody went to go see this movie. So let's use these powers for good and make sure you register to vote, Chris. We got the midterm elections coming in November and let's make a difference.
All right.
Cogburn out.
Register to vote.
Finish him.
Oh, that was the wrong button. Sorry about that. All right. There you go. Drew's mighty power has been welt.
That and Hereditary comes out in 2 weeks.
And Hereditary. Yeah, people see that one. All right. we're going to take a break here. Crespo Disco time. Now, before I play some music, I have another new segment for people to listen to. It's about 3 minutes long. Drew, you may like this one.
I'm not going to listen, Chris.
Yeah, but you may want to hear this one, though.
But it's part of the podcast.
It's in the middle of the podcast,
and
I don't
listen to podcasts.
But this
so
segment,
how can I hear it?
That's the thing. You're going to want to. Because I got Lady Raptastic to do a review of Solo, A Star Wars Story. And she hasn't seen it. So, listen to Lady Raptastic.
Oh,
there
man.
You go. So you can only imagine. Listen to Lady Raptastic review Solo, A Star Wars Story.
A movie that she hasn't seen.
That she hasn't even seen. She's going to review it. It's about 3 minutes long. Enjoy.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
it's
good stuff.
It's going to be good.
And then Crespo Disco. Listen to a couple songs. And then we'll be back with the second half with Drew and Boris. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lady Raptastic, and I have been paid to do a review of the movie Solo, A Han Solo Story. Alright, so if you have not, attention, spoilers ahead. We opened the movie, first of all, I want to say it's very well paced, okay? Things move, the music makes sure that when it's sad, they play sad music. When it's happy, they play triumphant music. John Williams is alive and he is still doing his thing, but it's a lot of electronics. He's gotten into electronics, and did you know, purposely to craft the music for this character, there are no string instruments used whatsoever. So those fans of the string department, fuck you. We open on a nest. It's a human-sized nest because where Han Solo was born on planet Vagon. His parents are birthing him into this human-sized nest. The camera pans up, and it's very intimate. All right, it's very intimate. It's the mother, the father. The father's laying around. He's not doing much, but the lady is there, and she having Han Solo, and it's very intimate. You see the baby come out, and then he opens his eyes, and she can tell he's the brave one. And the husband, you know, he's kind of an alcoholic, but they don't drink alcohol. They drink moon juice. And he's kind of, you know, he's the deadbeat dad. And then the camera pans up and there's thousands of nests in these electronic trees. And you realize that hundreds and thousands of Solos are being born. And then cut to the office of the interior. And he says, all right, we got all the Solos born. We are now going to program which galaxy each baby is going to be sent to. And they get the Solo, who is the Solo of the movie, and they say we're going to send him to this galaxy Perpetrates. And they beam up a picture of the mother and the father because they have it's called synergistic visualization software, where wherever the mother and father is, they can watch them. And before they decide where they're actually going to send them, they look at the parents and they say, no, we're going to send them somewhere a little bit weaker. You know, we're going to send them to a galaxy that's it's not that much of a challenge, because those parents are challenges, babies probably gonna be challenged, and that's why they send them to the Star Wars land. And then the funny part is that they make all these decisions usually through everybody. So they cut to the part where all of the babies have been decided where they're all going to go to. And then this lady walks up and says, would you like a glass of tea? And she drops a cup that pushes the button that shoots all the babies out individually through these tubes all through to the universe as they're supposed to be in. And he looks up at her and he says, I wasn't ready for that. And then he goes, da, 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 da. This has been Lady Raptastic for the movie review of Solo, A Han Solo Trilogy. Nyala!
Hey gang, it's Chris. I'm chilling in the Crespediso studio and I'm drinking Orange Blossom Pilsner. This stuff is delicious and you know it. It's made with real honey, but that doesn't mean it's sweet. That sweetness gets fermented out by the yeast. That's how that works. It becomes amazing alcohol, and then instead of a sweet drink, you have a nice crisp beverage that we know as Orange Blossom Pilsner. So good. Love it. Drink it. It's great. Also, guys, heads up. Check your local suppliers, especially here in Florida. 16-ounce cans of OBP are about to hit the market. That's just that much more drinking goodness for every can, every serving. Can't wait to get my hands on some of those. And if you find these 16-ounce cans, or if you're just drinking OBP in general, take some pictures. Let us know. Share them with us on social media. On Instagram, Cinema Crespediso, or on Twitter, at Crespediso. Let us know. Maybe even use the hashtag, I don't know, hashtag I love OBP. Take that picture. Send it to us. Let us know you're drinking it. It's so good. Then also, don't forget, they got that toasted coconut porter, that back in the day IPA, and that OBP squared. So check out any of the delicious beers from Orange Blossom Brewing. Take some cool pictures. Share them with us, and we will share them with the world. So remember, drink OBP. The bees need the work.
We now return to Knight Rider on USA. My name is Michael Knight. I forgot my fucking walkie-talkie.
Help me. Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Drusa Cogburn.
Chris Crespo.
Boris Douglas Garb. Do you know, is it Boris Douglas? Is it just Boris? BD Garb? BDG? Are you the notorious BDG?
No, I don't know. It's Boris. Boris.
Boris.
Boris.
We are joined by the notorious BDG himself here. And he is going to tell us a little bit about the things he's doing here in town. First off, I know that you are, according to your Facebook profile, the visual arts chair at the Timaqua, am I saying that right?
Timaqua Arts Foundation.
Timaqua Arts Foundation, which I checked out the website this weekend. I'm going to be coming over with my guitar and Drew with his bongos, and we're going to be setting up. We're going to be ready to play some live music. You ready, Drew?
Sure.
We're going to pack that place out. 90 people. We're going to bring them to hear us play.
I'm going to have to get my bongos
Rebongoed?
What do you have to do to bongos to get
So let me
fixed?
Tell you about Timaqua. So Timaqua was started by Benoit Glazer, who is the musical director of La Nuba. Benoit is a trumpet player, an arranger, a conductor. This guy, when La Nuba came to a close last year, he opened his house and created it into a concert hall. Oh. And listen to this. Every Sunday, there's a free concert with free alcohol. Did you hear that?
That's crazy.
Free alcohol and free food. Now, granted, we're a donation base.
Yes.
And we're hoping you're going to drop some money in the bowl. But it's free.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is the most beautiful thing. If you guys like music, musicians from all over the world travel for the great honor to play. So you guys have to come. I'll get you the VIP seats.
All right.
I'm not kidding.
We'll do it.
And I'm telling you, Benoit Glazer and Christopher Belt, the executive director. Christopher Belt now, he is the founder of the Accidental Music Festival. It's in its third season.
Okay.
It is an acclaimed festival. Mm-hmm. New York Times wrote about it. This guy, Christopher, is a composer, a guitarist. He is a musician. He is... This is a guest. This guy is gonna...
He's good.
He's like all me right. on this, you know?
Fantastic.
But at Timaqua, go to the website. Every Sunday, there's a free concert. So, well, not all of them are free. Sometimes it's a paid thing, but...
That's kind of based on the artist, right?
Sometimes. Or the event type.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And I am the visual arts chair. What I do is I bring an artist, a painter usually, that will paint on the stage alongside the musician.
Wow.
So it's kind of like a visual eye candy.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But Timaqua Arts, we are one of the Orlando Arts. We're a jewel in the crown. So Benoit and his wife, Elaine, and Christopher Belt, they've created just an amazing place.
And it's near downtown by Lake Eola, right?
It's 2000 South Summerlin. Literally
Summerlin.
Across from Boone High. There's Boone High School. There's a street, and there's a big White House. And it used to be called the White House.
Oh, okay.
But now we're just the Timaqua Arts Foundation.
Timaqua Arts Foundation. It's a big White House.
I think I know exactly what house you're talking about.
Yeah.
Drew knows exactly. Oh, yeah, because you work over that area.
Guys, promise me you're coming.
No, yeah, for sure. We will look at the calendar and we will pick a Sunday
tonight,
and we'll let you know.
Tonight it's not happening. No, there's
nothing. It's Memorial Day weekend, I'm sure. I was going to ask you, is there anyone? But I figured Memorial Day weekend, there's no one there. We will definitely look at the calendar and we will come soon because that sounds amazing.
No, actually, there's somebody there tonight.
Is there really?
There's no visual artist.
Yeah,
weekend? I think.
So you didn't get a video? Hey, you need a visual artist? I'll send up there with an etch-a-sketch and I'll show people how I can etch to music.
Yeah,
so that's Timaqua. People can check that out. Google that. Look at that website. Especially your local yokels. Now hit us with the art gallery.
So I run a gallery called Mills Gallery, formerly known the Gallery at Mills Park.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us online at the Art Gallery at Mills Park. But we're going to change that. I need a new website.
Okay.
We are the only gender equal gallery in town, which really means that we are a gallery that shows male and female art because female art is undersold, underrepresented. It's a sexist male business.
Yeah, sure.
And but what's ironic is that the galleries here in town, the major galleries, they're not. Because I was trained by the major galleries in this town.
Yep.
And they taught me well.
All right.
And you would, you know, now that I'm really in the business, I realize how wonderful Orlando is, how well we treat our artists.
Sure.
You know? Now, I'm a new gallery that's trying things from the point of view of somebody who's not really in the business. I don't have the education. I really can't call myself a curator. I'm a glorified salesman.
But you are curating the gallery, though. Right?
I'm curating the shit out of the
gallery. Yeah, you're a curator. Yeah. That's my confirming Boris is a curator air horn.
Mm-hmm. So listen to this. What curator?
Specifically labeled.
What curator is wearing? Is in sex book or wearing couture or is in a documentary about made by Twice Academy Award? I have decided, because the problem is with galleries and museums, usually, when I was younger, I didn't like going. Because the first thing you'd get is the crossed arms, may I help you?
Sure.
And then if they gave you a tour, it was very condescending. And I am not guy. I'm wearing couture. I'm openly gay. I'll coffee, drink. What do you want? I'll get on the front. I'll dance like a monkey. You're walking out of there entertained. You know,
you're going to make sure it's a good experience for people.
You're getting something
into the gallery
out of there. So what I do is I met this this psychologist, Dr. Carmen McGinnis.
Okay.
A wonderful woman. Look up her photos. Sexy as hell. And what she does, she and I have come up with this way of, she looks at the work and she analyzes and she finds all the hidden psychological meanings.
Okay.
And if the artist allows me to, I give a tour based on what the artist told me, what the psychologist told me, a little bit of my history.
Wow.
So you get a juicy, really coherent way of looking at the artist and the art in a completely different way.
That's very cool.
And then, of course, Carmen started writing her books.
Mm-hmm.
And
put you
I
in
said,
it.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Carmen McGinnis, the two books are Unintended Consequences in Retrograde, and you can find them on Amazon. There's a third one coming, and I think I'm going to be really naughty and
fantastic. Cool. So when you read those books, you see Boris's name. That is R.
Right there.
Notorious BDG.
Mm-hmm. And my dachshund appears in part three. You know, and
what? You even got your dog in there?
And he is a fat wiener.
That's amazing. The best Drew and I have had, someone wrote, I think, one chapter of fanfic about us. One whole chapter.
Where?
On Facebook? No, they just sent an email.
Oh, yeah.
And then we read it on the
email,
show.
And then you probably deleted it.
And then I deleted it. That can't exist in this world. All right, so people, check out those books. Art gallery is very cool. That sounds amazing. When you go there, make sure you tell Boris we said hi. Anything else you want to promote, plug, let people know about?
Well, it's not a plug, but I work with Daniel Chimovitz.
Okay.
And Daniel Chimovitz is a world-famous designer I met in Miami at Art Basel. And him and I, we're brothers. Mm-hmm. And he dresses me for every show. So he actually sends me couture, and I wear it, and then I have to send it back. But who the hell does that? Sex books, couture, please. You know, come on.
So he's responsible for these amazing jackets you're often seeing photographed in, and the one you have right now.
This is beautiful.
That's great. It is. It's very nice.
This is amazing. Yeah. So what this guy does is he wants to re-envision and reinvent how we guys dress.
Okay.
Because the way you guys are dressing, can I point fingers?
You already did. You're
point
pointing, them, you're
I mean,
pointing them right now.
I'm wearing jeans and a graphic t-shirt. I mean, I'm stuck in 1994.
And there are psychological reasons for this. We've kind of given up as a society. You know, go back 300 years, the men were the ones wearing all the fashionable, really yummy couture,
sure,
you
yeah.
know? And there's something that happened about, and this is sort of homophobic, you know?
Yes.
I don't want to look like Liberace to my... Liberace.
Yeah.
I am the Liberace of the art galleries. I'll get there. I'll do my thing. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I feel good doing
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah.
It's like my superhero cape.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wear Daniel Chimovitz's couture, you feel powerful. Yes, the first time you walk down the street or somewhere public, people are going to look at you. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It feels good.
It does feel good. I was wearing... So I'm podcasting right now, so that's why I'm wearing my t-shirt and my shorts. I've worn these shorts about 90 days in a row. But... but... You handed me okay, here we go. But I did the. I mean, I have a you know my 9 to 5 where I wear my dress pants and my shirt and my tie and I look a little better. I groom myself more. Just the other day, I was walking out of Publix. Some big black mama in one of the motorized wheelchairs was like, gave me one of those. You look good. I was like, oh, thank you, sweetie. It's so nice of you. You're so sweet.
Hey, have you been recognized yet?
Only by voice.
But, how did that happen?
Once I was at a bar with some coworkers, and then the bartender had his back to me, and I was speaking. And then he turned around and was like, are you on the radio? And this was when I was on the radio. I was like, yes, I am on the radio, as a matter of fact. And that's when I was on SBK Live. And then since then, at some events, I've been speaking to people, and then someone has come over like, are you Chris Crespo, and even Drew has done it to you, right? I think, haven't people done it to you? Are you a Drusa Cogburn?
I don't think so.
Right? No? No, but when we pointed out you're Drusa Cogburn,
then people are like, oh!
Like, oh, Drusa Cogburn! But yeah, I've, so a vocal recognition has happened on a couple of occasions. I don't think I've ever had visual. No, Ron.
That's the next step.
Ron, one time, when I went to the... Yeah, it only happened once, Boris, when I went to the Orlando City Soccer Championship game for USL. Someone who has now become... Actually, the person who wrote the sexy poem that I read in the first half.
Yeah.
It was the first time I met him. I was at the game, and he came up to me. He was like, hey, are you... I was like, yeah. I was like, hey. He took a picture. I was like, I had a little celebrity moment for a second. Yeah. And then he was like, "I want to." And then he said to me, "I want to kiss your. I want to kiss that face." And I was like, "That's a weird thing for this man." Yeah. And then I found out later he was gay.
Whoa! He didn't represent, but it's still better than I want to wear that face.
Yes.
Well, that could mean two things. You can want to wear it in a sexy way, or you can wear
there
it in
is
a
no sexy way to wear a face.
In a Hannibal Lecter way.
That's well, the only way you wear a face.
Chainsaw way.
So this is the person, Daniel Chimowitz from London Punk to American Graffiti.
Yes.
At the Mills Gallery. 1650 North.
And the Jewish Museum in Florida, Miami, is giving this incredible retrospective of him this year. Right now he's in Poland researching his roots.
Oh, really?
His couture is being worn by Lily Tomlin in the Grace and Frankie.
Oh, wow. Netflix really? Show. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
This guy is going...
And this is for us?
Or you can have that. Yeah, I just brought that.
No, well, I'll make this part of the... Because you see our room
the
way we do
it. Well,
we'll make this part of our room the decor.
I have a present for you guys.
All right, well, before we do our trivia, let's get our present, because I like presents. Yeah.
So, one of my favorite actors is Michael Biehn. He was in a movie.
It's fantastic.
Okay, if you guys know this movie, you're good. The Fan. 1981.
No.
James Garner. Lauren Bacall.
No.
Oh, my God.
With Michael Biehn? No,
Michael Biehn.
Young Michael Biehn. Tell me more.
Young Michael Biehn. So it's based on a really good book by Bob Randall, which was a book written just of letters back and forth.
Okay.
So I think it's epistolary or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So they took Lauren Bacall, this famous Hollywood star, they put her in a horror movie with razor blades. It's unbelievable. It's like the only thing missing was the chainsaw, I guess.
Wow.
Maureen Stapleton, James Garner, filled with these big stars.
Yeah.
I personally like that movie very much. So a friend of mine gave me the poster for Planet Terror, where Michael Biehn is in, and signed it. That's what I wanted originally to give you. I can't find it. So instead, I'll give you something from one of my second favorite movies, which is Boogie Nights.
Yes!
Oh, very nice.
Dirk Diggler. Here is a Dirk Diggler signed by Mark Wahlberg.
Whoa! Look at that, Drew!
Oh, look at that, Chris!
It's Mark Wahlberg!
It is!
That's amazing. Framed
that's
and everything.
My Morris, favorite scene.
Thank you, sir. I'm shaking hands for people who can't hear because it's a podcast. Oh, man. Drew, check that out. It's signed. That's amazing.
Signed by Mr. Wahlberg himself.
That's going on this wall with all the frame stuff.
Yeah.
That's going on the framed wall.
I mean, it looks...
That looks right there. Right next to John Travolta, Saturday Night Fever. Come on.
Yeah.
Boris.
Yeah, that's true.
That's perfect. Boris, thank you.
Oh, my God. Yes, I didn't even... Oh, that is awesome.
Well, yeah, right next there to Saturday Night Fever, right?
Yeah. I'll work it out.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Boris.
I have
Boris.
A story about the Bee Gees, but it's going to be off the record. Off. The podcast.
Oh, those are the
but
best
I am
stories.
Connected to that one.
Those are the best stories.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, that is just not decoration, Boris. There's a record in there, and I listened to the hell out of it when I was a kid. It's probably a little worn out now, actually. Okay, Boris, thank you so much. That's amazing. We really appreciate it. You are the man. Everyone, check out what he's doing. He's doing exciting stuff. It's very cool, and I'm excited to work with you more in the future.
We have a show coming up on June 2nd where I have.
Oh, this is what you were saying off mic. Yes. What is it?
My show right now, it's a show coming up with Marlene London, Renee Lewis, and
Mark, Bob, Jim.
Rob Williams,
Lawrence Scorsese.
Can we cut it in later somehow?
I could.
Oh, I am kind of, so sorry.
Oh, it's fine. They understand.
No,
you're a busy guy.
No.
You got a lot of information running
through. Keep talking. I'll find it. So go ahead.
Well, while you're looking for the name,
I am so sorry.
I'm going to remind people that we're going to do Drusa Cogburn versus the world, where Boris, you represent the world. Did Anwar win or lose? Can you remember, Drew?
I think I beat him just barely.
I can go back. That was a super close one.
I think I won by like one.
Like 4 out of 5, and you got 5 out of 5, or something crazy like that.
I think we were talking about it, and like if we had switched,
it would have been the other way. Yeah. There you go. That's how these games go sometimes. Let me see. Last week you played Jesse Wolf from Oh Dang Hummus, and you beat him.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a record of 12-8 this year. Before you played 20 games this year, Drew.
Well, yeah. About halfway through the year, 52 weeks, I guess a week-ish.
Oh, wait a second.
Math.
Oh, math.
Yeah.
That's how math works.
It's a thing. It works.
Interesting. Huh. Very interesting. Boris, you got the name?
Okay, I want to apologize. So, June 2nd, we have 3 amazing artists, Renee Lewis, Marlene London, and Robert Ross. Please forgive me.
Robert Ross.
Our
Bob Ross, you got Bob Ross?
Bob Ross?
The Bob Ross.
Whoa!
The Bob Ross.
Amazing. Back from the grave, painting happy trees. I'm sure he's never gotten that before in his life.
I've gotten good with the pentagram and the black candle. So. All right. So the opening reception is Saturday, June 2nd from 6 to 9 p.m. Renee Lewis, the beautiful Renee Lewis. Marlene London, the incredible Marlene London. And the one and only, back from the dead, not really, Robert Ross. This guy, when I interviewed him, he told me that one of the things that really bugged him is that name was following him. But the thing is, that guy is now considered a really quality artist. And the young people, they love him. They love watching that thing on PBS.
Yeah.
So it's not an insult. It's a compliment.
It is. He's
Robert, I love you.
Yeah,
forgive
Bob
me.
Ross is a beloved pop cultural figure. Yeah. So,
Well, yeah, because all he does is get high as fucking pink clouds.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting high. That's probably what it is, though.
Please come to this exhibition. It's fantastic. Ignore those comments.
Happy clouds.
Hey, you know what? Well, we're planning on being there ourselves, using Kyrie and myself. So if you want to come look at some art with Drew and me,
happy clouds all day.
Drew's all about painting those happy clouds.
1650 North Mills.
There you go, 1650 North Mills. What's the parking situation like there?
Excellent. We have a huge parking lot.
Fantastic.
We're next to a fresh market. You can't miss it. The building is called the Gallery at Mills Park.
Okay.
And it has a huge gallery sign. You cannot
miss it. Perfect.
We'll have food. We'll have alcohol. You get to meet these 3 artists. It'll be fantastic.
All right.
6 to 9 p.m. I know I'm prostituting, but it's all good.
That's the point of the show. That's the only reason we're here, and Drew and I will be there. So, all right, this week's game. Boris, you represent the world, just like Anwar did. He did valiantly, but lost, so it's now your turn to go up against Yusuf Kongburn.
All right.
This week's game is called, and we do a different game every week, game is called The Chicken or the Egg. Which came first? I'm going to name 2 movies. You tell me which one was released first of the 2 movies.
Okay.
Drew, since you won last week, you got to go first. You want A or B?
B.
All right, Group B, Drew, which of these 2 movies came first? Number 1, Raging Bull or Taxi Driver?
Oh, son of a... Taxi Driver?
Taxi Driver is correct. Number 2, which came first? The Muppets Take Manhattan or Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan?
The Muppets Take Manhattan.
That is correct by a good 5 years. Number 3, which came first? E.T. or A Nightmare on Elm Street?
E.T.
E.T. is correct. Came out a full 2 years earlier.
81,
number
4. 84, right?
82, 84. Yes, 82. Number 4, which came first? Drew, Dr. No or From Russia with Love?
Dr. No.
That is correct.
62.
And 63. Yeah, that's right. From Russia with Love, Mount 63.
Wow, I'm doing some great guessing.
And number 5, which came out first, Drew? The Exorcist or Rosemary's Baby?
Rosemary's Baby.
68, 74, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Exorcist 73, but yeah, Boris seems to get in the years, right?
Oh, no, 74.
73.
That's what they say, 74.
I just did the research, 73.
I want to see that research.
Drew, Google Exorcist release date while I do Boris. You're going to have to
Wikipedia.
Get all 5. You're gonna have to get
I
all...
only do Wikipedia. So
well, I mean, yeah. Well, I wanted a source. Give me a source. All right, Boris, of these 2 movies, which came
December
first?
December 26th, 1973.
Ah, okay, so it's... It probably came out limited December, and then it was really a wide release in 74.
Although it is understood.
I'm going to give you the 74. You're
right. The year it's released has nothing to do when the year was made.
Correct. That's why I'm saying you're released, not you're made.
No, then you're right. You are right.
But I'm going to concede December. It might as well be 74. It's fine. Here we go. Now, we're all getting along here. We're all a bunch of friends. Okay, number one. Which came first? Back to the Future or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Back to the Future.
That is correct. Number two. Poltergeist or The Fly?
Fuck me. Poltergeist.
That is correct. Yes, 82 to 86. Which came first? Star Wars, the original, the very first. Star Wars or Star Trek, the motion picture? Oh.
77, Star Wars. Star Trek was 79, 80, right?
Correct. Yes, 79 and 79. Here you go. Number four. Which came first? Meatballs or Porky's?
Porky's 81, Meatballs first.
That is correct. Meatballs 79. And finally, number five, which came first? Oof, man, this is what happens when you draw the short show. Which came first? Deep Impact or Armageddon?
Oh, this is where I'm going to...
Yeah, well, because I'm pretty sure they came out the same year, if I'm not mistaken. So you're talking about a matter of months here.
See, that's unfair. That is exactly it. And I'm going to mess this up. So I'm going to go...
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Because I think Deep Impact was compared to the other movie.
Okay.
I'm reading the reviews in my mind right
Wow.
now.
Wow. Wow, Chris, you're such an asshole. This is... Oh,
well, that's why I say choose wisely.
You're an ass.
I'm going to jump off the cliff, Deep Impact.
All right. Deep Impact came out May 1998. Armageddon, July of 1998. So you are correct, which means you guys are tied.
Good job.
Which means we have a tiebreaker.
Chris, I am like a savant with the years.
Chris, that was a dick move.
Hey, you know what? If you had selected A, you would have got that one. So there you go. You need this piece of paper.
If I had selected A,
here's a pen for you.
I would have gotten them. I would have gotten two of them wrong and would be out.
You need a pen. Guys, we're doing closest to the pin. And I need a number for this one. How many movies feature the actor John Candy? How many movies has John Candy appeared in? We're doing closest to the pin. Closest without going over gets the answer right. If you both go over, then it's whoever's closest. Whoever goes over the least amount.
Not one of my favorites. Tragic comedian. Mm-hmm. Died of drug overdose.
Well, just heart failure in general, I believe. Right?
It was a drug because of drug overdose.
And obesity. And probably a sedentary lifestyle. And
all right.
Seemed to love cigars, I believe, as well.
Made a lot of crap too. All right, who goes first?
Well, I already have Drew's answer here, so I need you to write yours down, and then I'll go ahead and announce them both. So write down your answer.
Wow, really?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, then I'll take that.
Man.
Okay, well then here we go. How many movies did John Candy appear in?
Crap.
Drew says 10 movies. Boris says 30. The answer is 42. Yeah. Boris, you are the winner. Congratulations, sir.
Wow, he was in a lot of crap.
There you go.
That I've never even heard of.
So, that's the thing. You were right about that. So, Boris, proving no one to be trifled with, Drew. Not only did he match your 5 for 5, but he got you on the tiebreaker.
Well done, sir. He knows things, I guess.
He does.
I'm a savant. I'm telling you. I read those, you know, those guidebooks for the movies. I read them like novels.
That's right.
Like, literally going over them. It's the crazy.
It's like the Leonard Maltin movie guides were like
that. Yes,
that one.
I like that one.
Yeah. They stopped making them, you know, a few years ago. Only like 4 or 5 years ago.
Aren't they online now? I think they're
apps. Yeah, he has an app now. Yeah. So he updates the app instead. Yeah. But it's not the same as sitting
with a book. I like to read a book. Yes. Literally.
Yeah, I mean, I sat down today with a book. It's like, oh, this just feels good.
I like cracking the back, right?
Yeah, watching the spine over time. Yep, you can see how far you've gone.
Yep.
It's something going through a Kindle and like, rocks.
But do you
technology.
Do you believe... I like watching science fiction movies about when they show us what things are going to be like in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think it was in the Tom Cruise movie...
Well, Minority Report.
Where, like, the guy in the subway, like, he takes something out of his pocket that looks like this, and he does this, and he does it one more time, and then he sips, and it becomes the newspaper.
Yeah.
And he does this, and it just...
It's like smart paper that he unfolds.
Yes.
We're getting there.
I think that's the future.
We do. I've already seen prototypes of, like, tablets, but they're bendable, like paper, and that you could roll it up and stick it in your pocket, and then unroll it, and then it's a fully functioning tablet.
And because of Daniel, I know that there's a fabric now that you can wear a dress that comes with this box, and you can press it, and the pattern's gonna change. And you can same dress as like 8, 9, 10 dresses.
That's amazing. That's cool.
And so what you do is you download the impressions of the dress.
Yeah.
But that's how the future is gonna not pretty.
The future is an exciting, scary place.
Yeah.
All right. Before we move on to our next segment, you did mention David Bradbury. I want to know what was the
Bradbury.
You said he was working on a documentary featuring the art gallery.
No, he made a documentary. So what? This is what happened. So. We host the Global Peace Film Festival, where a collection of well-known documentarians, movie makers, they first show their movies at the Enzian, and then they go to satellites.
Okay.
And we are one of the satellites, and so we had all these amazing directors there. And I had just started my career working with Dr. Carmen McGinnis, and we had this Puerto Rican exhibition called La Diaspora there.
Okay.
And... he asked me for a tour, and I gave it to him, and him and I got along so well. I was honest with him that I'm new at this, and he loved what Carmen had to say, and he said, I would like for you to be part of a documentary that I'm making, and if you allow me to, I'll make a mini documentary about the gallery, where I talk about... I never sent it to you, did I?
I don't think so, no.
Darn it.
No.
And so he made this documentary. I still have all the footage. I have to find out. Here's an outgoing invitation to somebody who wants to be involved in a well-known project. I'm looking for an editor who will help me put all this footage together. Bradbury has allowed the person who helps me to get full credit. You'll be part of a documentary made by twice Academy Award nominated David Bradbury.
I got you. I already got you covered. I got you a credited editor already.
I know a couple editors myself.
Got you. You're good to
perfect.
Go.
Perfect. Yep. You'll love it. And so this guy... You know, if you go on his Wikipedia, again, the impressive part is 2 Academy Award nominations, but he's like just cleaned up in Australia, and he makes these documentaries. I used to live in Nicaragua. He made one called Nicaragua No Pasarán, and he's made... One of his movies is called Nazi Supergrass. I think that's something you guys want to check out.
Drew is immediately Googling Nazi Supergrass. Piqued his interest.
What? The guy is just so amazing. So the next time he's here, you guys have to have this guy.
I would love to at least meet him, let alone have him on the show. Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah,
totally good guy. He appreciated my underdog approach to the gallery, and he said... We gotta get you on here.
That's
and the,
cool.
The documentary appeared with him. He's interviewing galleries from all over the world about the state of the art world.
Oh, and so good.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was young and fresh, and I gave my answer. But
sure.
The Orlando art scene is amazing. Good. I love the Orlando art scene.
Good to hear it. Have you ever seen a documentary called Con Artist from like 4 years ago? It's about a dude from New York. A guy who wants to be sort of an art tastemaker, but no, because it's pretty wild. I saw it at a Florida Film Festival once.
No, but my gallery was punked the very first day it opened. Do you know a band called We the Kings? They're a Florida band. They're very well known. They've had like a top 10 hits with Demi Lovato. What is it?
Demi Lovato?
Lovato,
yes.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I have heard of a week.
All right,
yeah.
So the drummer, his name is David Duncan. He lives in the gallery.
Okay.
And he and his friends, they created a painting, and he hung it on the wall, and he made his own little sign, handwritten.
Okay.
And then they tried to buy it from us. I guess he wanted to see if we were not that... If we were dirty and we would take money for a painting that wasn't ours.
Interesting.
Well, I didn't take it, obviously. And I was very nice to him, and I suggested venues for them to show their art.
Mm.
That thing's been seen by 1.4 million people.
Whoa.
And it's called How to Get My Crappy Art Into a Painting. You may Google it, my friend.
How to Get My Crappy Art Into a Painting?
Crappy art into a gallery.
Into a gallery? Into okay.
A gallery, yes.
There you go.
And it's at 1.5 million now, you know.
Wow, that's crazy.
Now, what's interesting is the comments. Patty Sheehan, the city commissioner, said to me, don't read the comments. Because I went from good for him, the curator, to douchebag. He sounds like Mr. Mackey from South Park.
And, real quick.
That hurt me. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, stay out of the comments section. Yeah. It's the, like Mos Eisley on Tatooine, it's a hive of scum and villainy in the comments section.
Oh, man. We the Kings. Yeah, they're from Bradenton, Chris.
Oh, they're from Bradenton?
Mm-hmm. Good old Bradentucky.
We the Kings. That sounds familiar.
They look Say like Yes, Juliet is their number one. Say Yes, Juliet.
I don't know if I know that.
But they look like a pop punk band.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's what they look like.
Okay,
They're definitely pop.
I'm thinking of someone else. Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Kings Go Forth. That's a totally different.
Yeah,
We the Kings.
Way less pop.
Way less pop.
We the Kings. Okay, there you go.
We the Kings.
All right, fantastic. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419. Some places on the internet.
It's the same thing. Every course. CinemaCrespo.gmail.com Facebook group, join it. Crespo Hundo, do it. Listen to PFT media shows like The Lady Raptastic Show. Hope everyone enjoyed that very spoiler heavy review of Solo, a Han Solo story by Lady Raptastic. Was that your first time hearing Lady Raptastic, Boris?
Yes. It reminds me of Lady Chablis.
A little bit, sort of vibe, we do a show every week with her, about a 15 to 20 minute improv show, and it's available on pftmedia.com. Lady Raptastic. Me and Lady Raptastic. Yeah, she's a wild one, that lady, let me tell you. Woo! Gotta have that England look on tap.
Yep.
All right. Those are the plugs. We got them done. Let's do, we have our friend in New York. He's been with us since the beginning of the show, Billy D. He does a segment called Billy D's Death at the Movies, and that has an intro, and it goes like this.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You metal, dude! Totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death at the Movies. And Trisha Coburn reads Billy D's Death at the Movies like this.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Bill?
Currently in the Bahamas chilling.
Oh.
Leave for Miami for a couple of nights tomorrow. We had one rainy / hangover / sunburn care day, and the channel that gets the best reception is the Lifetime Movie Channel. So I watched like 4 Lifetime movies while eating room service and wrapping cold wet towels and tea tree aloe.
Tea tree aloe, because he's Irish.
Mm-hmm. And he's
in the Bahamas.
Motherfucker's almost clear.
Yeah.
So
translucent.
You
can't go from Brooklyn winter to the Bahamas. You need a buffer zone there of sunlight in the Central Park or something, Bill.
Nope. He just went straight Bahamas.
Ah, poor guy.
I don't remember the name of any of them because we just called them Shark Rescue Stalker or King Vampire Stalker or Girls Night Out Stalker, mm-hmm. and my personal favorite, the old Switcheroo Stalker, where we thought Carrie Elwes had a stalker, but 15 minutes in we figured out it was Mira Sorvino who had the stalker.
Oh, Switcheroo Stalker. Okay.
I'll admit I'm having a weird soft spot for these basic predictable thrillers. I'm almost fascinated by how a lot of them are made by the Asylum, and now I've decided the Asylum must be a magical and insane place to work. No real review to speak of because they're Lifetime movies. We all know what they are like. The production quality and silliness have been ratcheted up considerably, so that's a plus, but they're all still the same. Stay cool, Billy D.
Aw, thanks, Bill. You watch a bunch of Lifetime movies. That's fun.
I love the Asylum.
The Asylum is,
When I got sober in 2003 and they still had video stores, oh my god, I watched everything The Asylum.
You watched Snakes on a Train.
It was like the Sharknado before Sharknado.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
It was
like,
awful.
I'm surprised Sharknado wasn't produced by Asylum. It's to that
Seriously,
point.
Seriously, they've got a
Transmorphers.
Oh, that's them?
Yes.
They make the best cheap ripoffs of whatever was out there.
And they've only been sued like a couple of times. Yeah. They got sued when they did Battleship.
Chris.
And they had made them change name from American Battleship to American Warship.
Right.
Battleship sued them.
Chris.
What do you got?
They did Sharknado 5.
They did Sharknado 5. They only did the most recent one. Interesting. I wonder what that's all about.
Did Sharknado 5.
And it's supposed to be the last one, too, I think. They're finishing after the Shark 5 NATO, whatever.
Oh, come on. There's no such thing as last.
Well, of course, then they got to reboot it so you can do Sharknado reboot.
They had to do that so they can
start with Jason Priestley instead of B-Zero.
So they can do Five-Headed Shark Attack.
Five-Headed Shark Attack?
Or Forgotten Evil.
Is that what they're doing, Five-Headed Shark Attack?
Or maybe Dreamhouse Nightmare. perhaps Operation Dunkirk.
Operation Dunkirk?
Sinister Minister.
That's so funny.
Troy : The Odyssey.
So now we're mixing things together. Oh, I guess Troy is
Tomb Invader.
As opposed to Tomb Raider.
Atlantic Rim. Resurrection.
Yeah, that's the worst one. Atlantic Rim, Pacific Rim. Come on. There is no Atlantic Rim. At least Pacific Rim is a geological thing. Atlantic Rim doesn't... Should have been called Continental Shelf.
Yeah, Atlantic Rim. Avengers. Avengers Grim? What the hell?
What's
They've got
that?
Fake Avengers. They've got a fake Avengers.
Fake comic book heroes?
Avengers Grim. The original Wonder Woman? What the hell is this?
Wow.
I'm clicking on this.
They are ballsy.
It's right next to Flight 666.
They are very ballsy people with the way they're just ripping stuff off, I gotta say.
Okay, unhappily being ruler of the underworld, Rumpelstiltskin frees himself and goes into hiding, making plans to take over the Earth once and for all, as the Avengers Grimm fight to stop him. Oh, God.
Oh, Grimm! Grimm's fairy tales!
So, hang on. It looks like we've got Little Red Riding Hood. There's a bunch of bad bitches fighting Rumpelstiltskin.
Because they're all in the public domain. We could have made this movie.
Yes. Avengers Grimm.
All right, you guys are movie guys.
Apparently.
This is one of my favorite movies. Nobody likes this movie. Mm-hmm. And it is scary as hell. Science fiction horror.
Mm-hmm.
Event Horizon.
Yeah. That movie scared me
scared the shit out of me.
That movie scared me so much. I saw it in theaters with my dad.
Me too! With my father!
halfway through the movie, I was so afraid I made my dad and me leave. I could not handle the scariness.
Oh no, we walked out because he couldn't handle it. I had to see it later.
Yeah, you had to catch up on it later.
Yeah, and you know, I caught it later too, and I was angry because the ending was so funny and not scary.
I don't like the ending.
The ending was funny, not scary.
I don't like when Sam Neill goes mad, but...
Everything else, scariest fucking movie I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, the first...
I completely agree.
No. And you know what?
No. Thank you.
I don't know if you, I don't know if you know
right
this.
I'm right there with you, bud.
So when they made this movie in the 90s, Fox made the movie.
Oh,
and
yes, I do.
Yeah, this is wild.
Which is even freakier.
And it makes me mad.
Yeah.
Fox made the movie. They produced it. So the director, Paul W.S. Anderson, who has gone on to make like the Resident Evil movies and a bunch of other movies that aren't good, he delivered his cut. Like, we want you to make this horror film. Here is my horror film. They showed it to the test audiences, and the screenings came back saying, too scary. This movie is too scary.
Totally get it.
And
totally
Fox is like, you have to make this less scary. And dude's like, what you hired me to make a horror film.
Drew.
It's supposed to be scary.
Drew, what's the scariest scene? Let's see if you and I agree.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think. I mean, the whole freaking movie.
I think for me, it's just the tone.
No,
of the, film.
The whole...
When they get onto the ship, it's like everything's just been so oppressive.
No. Usually they never show. The idea is they go to hell and come back. Remember when they're watching the crew for the 10 seconds where they're like, the captain is pulling out his eyes.
Skin.
And I stopped that frame so I could see what was going. You know that there are guys having anal sex in the corner and one guy is holding a beheaded head and trying to shove it on his...
I'm sure it is so disturbing.
Wow.
I'm sure.
And it,
but that's gotta chap your hide a little bit to be like, well, now they're equating gay sex
with
hell being unleashed. Or is it more like the Cenobites in Hellraiser where... It's ultimate pleasure, ultimate pain.
Exactly.
Pain and pleasure, okay. Totally mixed.
Okay.
And he was pulling out his eyeballs.
Yeah.
And what was it? He was saying something in Latin over and over.
Yeah, there's some sort of Latin phrase that, something about opening, no, turning back? I can't remember.
That's one of those movies where they flash things and you have to stop it and watch it. Because the things that they're showing are so disturbing.
Yeah.
And that disturbed me more than the actual story.
Fox made the director cut 20 minutes out of the movie. 20 minutes of just pure, like, terror.
Disturbing. If you guys want to see a scary horror movie, I love science fiction and horror, Event Horizon.
Especially when it comes to, like, big budgets.
Yeah,
like,
this is done correctly.
Yes.
I agree on the ending.
It gets a little cheesy.
It doesn't bother me that much because, let me tell you something. The dinner they gave me was so delicious, I don't care that the coffee is pulverized.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's great.
That's fun.
I got it.
Maybe the 20 minutes they cut out would have helped that make more sense or fit in better. The thing is, they're out there.
There must be out there, those 20
minutes. No, that's the thing, because it's film, right? So, and it's the 90s. They had less of a concept of... First off, DVD wasn't a thing. So they didn't have
special
editions.
Nothing?
That film could literally just be gone. It could be destroyed.
I don't believe they do that anymore. No, they must keep it so.
Now they do, but we're talking 96, 98.
Jesus Christ, that was 22 years ago.
That's a long time. That's a long time.
They keep finding movies from the 1930s.
And it's a miracle when that happens. When they found Metropolis in Argentina, people shit their pants.
There you go. There you go.
Christopher Nolan, he just did at the Cannes Film Festival, and our New York listeners can take advantage of this because now it's playing in New York. They found a full print of 2001 A Space Odyssey, and they actually they restored it to the point where this is what the movie will look like when it screened in 1969 or 68 or whatever, as opposed to here's a digital a fixed version.
See, that's a good idea.
Well, it's a great idea. And they've been billing it as the unrestored 2001 A Space Odyssey. And they played at the Cannes Film Festival. People loved it, obviously. And now it's playing a special engagement in New York, where I think it's literally the one print. There's one print of this unrestored print, and it's right now in New York City, and people listening to the show there can go check it out. Billy D, I expect you to go check it out.
He's in the Bahamas.
He's going back to New York. He lives in New York. He doesn't live in the Bahamas now. Imagine him in the Bahamas, a leathery Billy D.
Oh, dude, he'd be super crispy, just like What's-His-Face.
He's so bad.
He'd be like the ice
cream colonel. What's his name? He'd be Harrison.
Crispy, yes, George Harrison.
He'd be George Harrison.
He'd be crispy colonel.
Ah, shout out to George Harrison. Okay, so that was Billy D. You can follow him online. If you like Billy D, Boris, you can find him online at I Love Blood.
I love blood. Yeah. I love chainsaws and blood. So, all right.
All right. Now, in the spirit of... You remember, I tried to do this last week and it failed miserably, Drew. Mm-hmm. But we're back now.
Okay.
So, in the spirit of...
You can try again?
In the spirit of Chris reading sexy poems, one of our listeners decided to record himself reading his own sexy poems. So I didn't even try this. I'm just going to see how this works now. Here we go.
So this is Event Horizon, basically.
The Event Horizon of audio. Here we go. Let's see if I can make this play.
You like it when I beg. Need, filling my eyes and voice. Overtaken by a want that leaves no choice. You love it when I scream your name. Again and again and again. You leave no doubt. In this commotion, making me forget my name. What you want from me? Take me.
Wow, game!
Drew, were you as scared as when you saw Event Horizon?
Probably a little more frightened, because that was real. Oh, wow. Event Horizon's fake. Right. And I knew it, and I was still afraid.
He gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He gave me 6 different little bits here. I'm going to spread them out over some episodes. So I play that first, so I'm going to play one more.
Okay.
Oh, please. Okay. Please.
One more.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to play...
I haven't been scared like this in a while.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to play the one with the scariest title. That one was called You Like It. But this one is called He Fucks Me.
Oh.
Boris, you weren't expecting this much sexy poetry, were you?
This is not sexy, trust me.
Sorry, Gabe.
He Fucks Me Haiku. He fucks me so good, my thoughts no longer exist. So I speak in tongues.
Wow. Gabe. He fucks me haiku.
Fucks me so hard I speak in tongues.
I don't even know what to say at this. Is this a hate crime almost? I don't know.
What's the opposite of a hate crime? A love crime? I think it's a love crime. I think we've just invented the first love crime.
The crime of love?
The crime of
love.
I'm
trying to keep it classy here, you know?
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's no class here, bud.
I mean, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
You brought the jacket.
Thank you.
You're classy.
I brought the sex books.
You brought the sex books.
And I brought you Dirk Diggler. Let's talk about porn.
Yeah.
I want to talk about porn.
Well, let's talk about some porn. What kind of porn are you watching these days?
No. You know, the Dirk Diggler thing.
I love that movie.
The best porn is from the late 70s. Early 80s, because they're like movies filmed on film.
Yeah, so it still looks great.
Yes.
Also, back in the day when they actually had theaters to play that in.
Stories.
And people would go to movie theaters and not just the jack off, but to actually watch the pornographic movies because they were movies.
Deep Throat. Deep Throat was a general phenomenon. Johnny Carson took the co-host and whoever was some major comedian. They literally went to see Deep Throat.
Yeah.
And was it Linda Lovelace? She was a...
Linda Lovelace,
She was like a celebrity. Like
I think I made like $2 million at the box. Like
$2 million. $400 million. Look it up. Deep Throat makes $400 million at the world box office.
But is that with inflation?
No.
Because that's amazing. That's so much money. Especially
it's
70s
one of the
money.
Biggest...
It is pretty much... I mean, Deep Throat and Debbie Does Dallas are like the most well-known...
How much Deep Throat?
Hang on. See him...
And then I guess Pirates, which came out like 15 years ago. Right, Pirates was kind of a big deal when that came out. But that
well, I mean, box office, it's claimed at $600 million. They've been able to confirm $50 million of it.
Interesting. Yeah, because that's the thing too. Box this Office
Wikipedia,
Mojo,
right? Wikipedia.
Yeah, this is Wikipedia,
and they get all that stuff from Box Office
all
Mojo
right.
is like the
I may
leader.
Have bought in all.
Well, no. Here's
the
thing.
Hype.
Here's the thing. Box Office Mojo, they're upfront about this. Their data is great up until about 85,
and then
Box Office reporting
murky.
Is just literally hard to find. Box Office reporting didn't happen in earnest until Access Hollywood. Aired on TV, and Access Hollywood started doing
reporting on
here's your top five movies of the weekend. Now they were literally the first outlet to report on a top five.
Interesting. I had never thought about that because it is fascinating how sometimes they have accurate movie numbers for something from 1952.
Yep.
But then something 3 years ago, nobody knows anything.
And that just happened to us with the movie Thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
We went and saw a movie in theaters, and then we just like we did at the top of the show here. We let's do the box office top five. Where is Thoroughbreds on the box office list? It wasn't on the
list at all.
Because even though it was still in theaters, they weren't reporting the numbers for it. So it still
reason.
Happens to this day.
Yeah.
It's very weird. So there you go. Porn is fantastic. People mm-hmm. should watch it more. Boris, there are people out there who say porn kills love. What do you say about that?
It's true.
It can.
It absolutely can. I know two porn stars, and they have...
Oh, especially if you're working in the
female
show.
Porn stars who said to me that... When they come home after work, because that's work for them, they just want to sit in their underwear, eating popcorn, watching Netflix.
Sure.
The people they date, the guys that date them,
like, yo, let's
they want to date the movie
They want
star,
that porn star.
Not the person that they are.
So isn't that...
It kills romance. It kills the bedroom.
So then
it
don't does. Porn stars then have to then date other porn stars so that you can have someone that relates to them in terms of...
No, they
of...
lie. They just lie. They never tell the truth. You know. And by the way, I have seen my friend with and without makeup, with the with what they call the PM, the porn star makeup.
Oh, sure.
You couldn't tell.
I've seen I followed some porn stars on Twitter. There's no porn stars anymore. Porn actresses on Twitter.
Yeah,
I
hate that term, porn star.
And it's also meant to deride anyway. But anyway, I followed some on Twitter, and they are like very open. Like, here's some pictures of me without my traditional movie makeup.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look like a completely different person.
No.
Not to say you look worse. It's just you look different, you know. And you can really change your features with your makeup.
And the thing is,
I want to get into makeup.
If the scene was filmed in one take where they could literally do their thing, maybe. But it's cut up in little 30-second, 1 minute, 30-second, and having to stop, having to get back. There's nothing romantic, nothing sexy.
No, if you're on the set when it's happening, it's definitely not. You know what? Okay, so people, if you're into this conversation that we're having and you're into old porn and podcasts, I have the podcast
for
you.
I'm writing it down.
And I'm not even sure if it's still in production. They may still do occasional episodes. It's called The Rialto Report. R-I-A-L-T-O. I think the guy's name is Rialto. He's an English fella. And he interviews porn actors and porn makers from the 60s and 70s. And he does...
Bravo!
Boris, you would love this show. Yeah. And it's been around for a while, so there's a whole backlog of amazing people.
You know that porn has existed since since they had cameras.
Porn has existed since cave drawings.
Yeah, since we could make pictures, we've been drawing
There's
penises.
A documentary called...
I had a book, one of those flips like that with photographs that you did
The flip book? Yeah. And it's a sex position. Yeah. We saw a documentary, a Werner Herzog documentary called...
Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog, he's the best. He did a documentary about the oldest cave paintings discovered. They're 30,000 years old in France. And the movie is called Cave of Forgotten Dreams. And it's not just... paintings, they've also found little like rock statues, and they found rock statues that are depicting naked women with very large breasts. And they're like, this is obviously.
I'm gonna call you guys out to the carpet. May I?
It's take it to the mattresses.
So, you guys are movie critics. You know the gallery downtown called the Avalon Gallery.
I've heard of it, yes.
Okay, they have a program every Wednesday ahead, I think it's over, called More Q&A, More Questions Than Answers. And every Wednesday,
yep.
Every Wednesday, Kyle Eagle and Patrick Green present movies. I think last Wednesday I saw Wings of Desire.
Yes, Wings of Desire is what they just did.
And yep. It's this beautiful, old-fashioned movie theater in the middle of, upstairs in the gallery.
Yeah.
You guys.
Well, here's the thing. I know Kyle. I've met Kyle. We're actually...
Kyle is great. Hi, Kyle.
Spoiler alert. We're going to be announcing how we're going to be working together soon in the future. Probably around August we'll be announcing big news with PFT Media. But he told me about the series and I'm interested in it. The thing is, up until recently, I was working Wednesday nights for the last 6 months as a trivia host. So my Wednesdays, unfortunately / fortunately, are now open.
You know what? They are.
Because Oblivion Tap Room closed. I'm not doing trivia there anymore. But that means that I can do things like this until I get another
game. You know what a small world this is? I just realized. The day you met Kyle and the other guy, they came to the gallery right afterwards telling me about you guys.
Oh, did they really?
Yes.
There you go.
Wow.
It's hilarious.
It's a small world. Yeah, it is. It's a small world.
What was the other guy's name?
Or is that Chris, his producing partner, Chris?
It was another Chris.
I met him, yeah. Yes, another
it must
Chris.
Be, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Kyle and Chris. Yep. Kyle's a very nice guy. I'm looking forward to working with him.
Hero.
All right, Gabe, thank you for these sexy poems. We have four more, Drew, that we'll be debuting over the next couple of episodes. I hope you're ready for them.
Fantastic.
All right. Now, I'm checking my email. Besides for the sexy poem from Ron, we don't have any emails from listeners. Yeah. We have a segment called the Vox Populi, and it's the voice of the people, the segment of the people.
They
disappointed us this week, Drew.
If they've got nothing to say, so be it.
Now, yes, of course. Here's the thing. It's their segment. It's the people's segment. But use it or lose it. If we don't get nothing for next week, the Vox Populi is axed. It's over. No more. I delete the drop. We never hear that awesome drop ever again.
I would love that. I would like to be the guy who killed that segment.
Well, let me see who's our guest next
with
week.
Oh, a it's chainsaw.
Possible. It's possible. Oh, yeah. We'll bring it. I don't have a chainsaw.
Well, you must have one effect. Come on, a chainsaw. Let me
see. It's the sound that plays when you hear the chainsaw. Okay, so we will then instead jump into the movie news segment. Here we go. Movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beach?
That's right. Time for the most important segment in all of entertainment, the Cinema Crispity. So movie news. Segment. Hey, did you see Ben Affleck stepping out with his new girlfriend? What's her name? And did you know Angelina Jolie is upset with her current agreement, custody agreement with Brad Pitt? It's causing work problems. Oh shit. But first, we need a Justin Bieber update. Boris, what's up with the Biebs, my man?
I can't stand them, so.
Oh, all right. There we go. So that's your Biebs update. Boris can't stand the Biebs. Good to know. All right. Movie news segment. Boris, when this news broke last year, it became practically a joke that we had to report on it every single week, to the point where it became a brand new segment. This segment we haven't done in about a month, Drew.
Yeah.
But it's back. It's a segment within a segment. It's called This Week in Rape Culture. What?
This pussy grab you back. Give you pussy cataracts.
That's cool. Right.
So my mother won't be able to listen to this. Thank you.
Oh, that was it. It wasn't the sexy
else.
The fuck haiku from the first half of or when you had me read sexy erotic literature featuring your name.
Oh, she actually loves those books. She's like, I'm so proud of you. It's finally doing something with your life.
You finally made it. Yeah. This week.
Or made her, I don't know.
This is all about positivity because this week in rape culture, big news, Harvey Weinstein. First off, this happened and it went under the radar because of the follow-up news. He is being investigated by federal investigators. The FBI is looking into Weinstein for the crime of luring women across state lines for sexual misdeeds.
Yeah.
So the feds are looking to him. The day after that news broke, Weinstein announced that he was going to turn himself into the NYPD. Probably because he was like, I'll take my chances with a city constabulary as opposed to Big Brother.
Yeah.
Harvey, that ain't getting you out of shit, brother. You're fucked. So Harvey turned himself in. Also, Harvey's rich, white privilege, even though he's Jewish. White privilege, American privilege, $1 million bail. He got out same day. Yeah, produced Pulp Fiction.
Well, he's
yeah.
got that money.
And you know, and how many of those fuckers
knew?
Every one of them.
Yeah, it's a thing. Some of them claim that they because do. Some claim that they don't.
She was abused, and she said she asked those people, every one of those people, to stand up for her. That's a story we're not reading.
Yeah, Lawrence Bender, the producer. Yeah, that big thing came out with Tarantino, and they did all these interviews and stuff.
I'm sorry. I did not like how he handled this. That was weak.
He did not handle well. But then
he's not going to survive this.
But then again... No, I think he will survive because he's already putting
not
together his
for
next
our
movie.
Look, I'm talking about the younger generation that's going to like judge him on all
no,
this.
No, what I'm saying, I think he's going to get a pass based on the way he came out after the interview.
There are no more passes. That's what's happening.
Uma Thurman is still like got his back. If they made a movie together, all that goes away. Uma has his back. There are certain people who won't survive, some who will. When it comes to handling it, 100% of men are handling it poorly. Either you got a Matt Damon who tries to explain the spectrum of behavior,
and fucks it
which what he's saying is correct, but people don't want to hear that shit, especially from white as fuck Matt Damon.
No.
No men are handling this properly. All men.
No, some are.
The only way is to say I apologize and now I'm going to shut up. That's the only way. Like, and even like Louis C.K., he never apologized.
Nope.
James Franco, he never really apologized. He tried to be a culpa as much as he would. We will talk about someone who did apologize in a second. Weinstein turned himself in, got out on $1 million cash bail because he's rich as fuck, didn't spend a day in jail. Meanwhile, at least 1 million people in this country are sitting in jail because they can't afford their bail for minor
offenses. $500 bail, they can't afford.
They can't afford minor offenses, they have to sit in jail. Weinstein, he's a literal monster. He slept in his bed that same day. $1 million cash, also expected to plead not guilty. So it's not like he's taking any... mea culpa or anything. So he's a monster. But yeah, he's getting his, and it's fantastic. That is specifically on two separate rape charges and also possible financial fraud charges. That's the thing, though. Watch him just get him on the finance stuff.
Yeah. As long as he goes to jail for a long time.
As long as he does. Now, this is going to keep happening. People that we love and worship and adore. That's why I've been saying no more heroes. We can't
feet of clay.
People have, you break their feet and then they crumble. It's terrible. You know who's got the biggest feet of clay? Morgan Freeman.
I know, it's a shame,
but
isn't
you
it?
Know what? You know, I saw one of those interviews where he was flirting with the lady and she was flirting right back. And I have to be very, very careful when I say this.
Yep.
That particular interview, she, in my opinion, was not being harassed.
That's the thing, though. So from the outside, from us looking at it, that's the way it seems. But we don't know what was going on in her head at the time. What she might be thinking is, here's a person who's extremely popular, and no one knows me. I want to be a success, so I can't call this person out. I have to play into it. Like, thank you for making
Chris,
jokes.
No, Chris, you're right. And I should not have said what I had said.
No, we're talking it out. We're trying to figure things out.
No, you're right. I'm actually impressed by your take on that. You're right.
Well, it's not even my... I'm just
you're
reading.
A feminist. I like that.
I am a feminist. Okay. 100%. And when people say male feminist, that confuses me. Like, I don't know what... Now we're splitting up feminists into genders. That's like the opposite of feminism anyway.
You know what? The correct word is humanist.
Yes, I am a secular humanist. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. What I believe in... unfortunately is people. So I cling to the good news, but I'm devastated by the bad news. Just like this. Morgan Freeman, who he's not being accused of like rape. Right. He's on a Weinstein level.
Right. No.
This goes back to Matt Damon's spectrum of behavior. Morgan Freeman's just a guy who for years has been comfortable with making comments to young girls and young women, sexual comments that will then put them in an uncomfortable place because they can't say anything to Morgan Freeman. He's Morgan Freeman. He is literally God in movies. Yeah. He is God in movies. Yeah. Excuse me, God was harassing me. Shut up, lady. You're a PA. Go get me my coffee and my donut. And if Morgan Freeman wants to look at your ass, you pull your skirt tighter and you let him look at your ass. That's the way it's been for years. So now that Morgan Freeman is being called out on it, of course there are people like, I don't want to believe it. But Morgan Freeman...
Believe it. He's human.
Morgan Freeman put out a statement saying, my bad. He's admitted it without admitting it, you know?
I hate those apologies.
They are the worst apologies.
The Me Too movement, do you think it's about to come to a stop and be reinvented, or do you think it has some power still?
I don't think it will stop. I think it will evolve a lot
like
Occupy.
Like your show.
Like the show evolves, everything evolves. Anything that needs to live will evolve. If it stays still, it's going to die. The Occupy movement, after the whole Occupy Wall Street thing, that didn't die. That's moved on. That's continued.
What are they doing?
They go around buying up million. First, they raise money, and then with that money, they buy up millions of dollars of debt, of consumer debt. And then the way that's done is bad debt is bundled into packages, and then huge corporations can then buy that debt and then try to collect on it. Occupy found out about that system. They buy the huge bundle of debt, and then they open the bundle, and they say, what did I buy? Oh, I bought all these credit card debts. We're going to contact all these people and let them know your debt has been forgiven. You don't have to pay anyone back nothing.
That gives me hope.
Is that amazing that people do stuff like that? God. So when you hear about the Occupy
Please
movement
look
being
at
denigrated.
My debt.
Yes. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to find that bundle that I'm in. So when you hear people denigrating the Occupy movement, they have no goals, this or that, they died out. No, they're still doing their thing. They have goals. It's
good
financial
for them.
Freedom. It's amazing.
Good for them.
They're so out there.
What do you
yeah.
think about this Publix stuff?
I think it's amazing. I don't think corporations should be dictating any sort of political action in our country. I don't think corporations should have the right to openly bribe our politicians by donating to their campaigns. Citizens United is merely legalized bribery on a corporate level that we can't compete with as average citizens. And Publix, as the biggest employer in Florida, they should not have an outsized say as to who is our governor. No. They don't have the right to put so much money behind Adam Putnam because they like Adam Putnam. And the liking Putnam is as simple as Lakeland. Publix is a Lakeland-based company.
I went to school in Lakeland.
Did you go to school here?
Southern College.
My condolences. I'm sorry. Oh, that's a beautiful school, though.
It's a good school.
And a Frank Lloyd Wright buildings and stuff. I looked at it, actually.
Largest collection of Frank Lloyd Wright buildings in the world.
I looked at it for colleges. That's the one thing Lakeland seems to have. And the Brew Hub. Shout out to OBP. These companies, and Putnam's from Lakeland, that's why they like him, but they shouldn't have that kind of sway. And so when this David Hogg kid calls for his die-in and people do it, and then the same day Publix announces that they're suspending political donations, that shit worked. It got the goal of what they wanted, in that Publix shouldn't be, no corporation should be having such an influence on our politics.
I want to congratulate you on being on the right side of history.
Oh, thank you, Boris. Hey! Right side of history, air horn, Drew. That's the, it's a deeper innotation. It's the note.
That's only if we win.
That's
Isn't
only,
it
that's only
amazing
if we win. If we lose,
that
we're screwed.
Young people are actually doing stuff that works.
It's beautiful. It's an
it's
amazing
incredible.
Thing. And then when other people like shit on them, I'm like, oh, you want to take away my pub subs. I'm like, you're an idiot who doesn't know what's going on in the world around you. You can't think beyond your stomach and the next mealtime, and that's sad. So, yeah, I applaud people like the Parkland
Absolutely.
Students. Yeah, they're fantastic, and they're the ones giving us hope that the world isn't full of Weinsteins.
I agree 100%.
There you go. Wow. So that was your Chicken Rape Culture segment. Morgan Freeman, it sucks, but you know what? You can still watch The Shawshank Redemption, everyone. Relax.
Why did
Just
you,
relax.
Why did you call it that, this segment? I'm just curious.
Oh, because it got to a point where...
We're reporting on it every single
It was
week.
When Me Too first happened, and every week it was like 5 new names were dropped, so it just got to...
It got kind of ridiculous, so we decided to get ridiculous back.
And we were talking about rape culture going all the way back to SBK Live. That was something that Kevin was talking about back in like 2011, 2012. And back then, it was like we were debating with people that rape culture even existed. People were like, I don't understand what it is. No, I mean, now you're seeing what it is.
Under Obama was the first president to talk about men being able to get raped.
Yeah, sure.
The first president.
Yeah, so many men don't want to admit that. How can that be? I can only imagine tiny girls. I can overpower them all. I'm an idiot, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's a bummer. It's a bummer. But then again, like I said, I'm a secular humanist, so I also have to believe in people. And Boris, I believe in you. You seem like a good guy. I also believe in the power of Michael Keaton, Drew, who's coming back for Spider-Man, the next Spider-Man movie.
Oh, really? Oh, no. I thought you were going to talk about Beetlejuice 2.
Me too.
No, that was fake news.
Oh, it was.
Beetlejuice 2 was fake news.
Are you sure?
They've been working on a screenplay since last year. They commissioned a new one.
Yeah, but
there's
saw the new poster.
No, that's
fake
poster.
Fake poster.
Fake poster.
I mean,
it's on Snopes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, Boris. I know. It's very
sad. It hurts.
Sad. It's sad. I don't want. I'd be down for Beetlejuice too.
Wait, came in with a bees being Batman again?
No, he played the bad Vulture. Guy in called Vulture in the last Spider-Man movie that came out about 2 years ago, and he confirmed that he's signing on for the next one.
So he's playing a bad guy. So he's a comedian playing a bad. That is creepy. But that is interesting.
Really, he's the best part of that Spider-Man. Yeah, movie. He was. He's really good. I'm a big Michael Keaton fan though. Batman, the 89 Batman, one of the first movies I saw in movie theaters. So,
but you know, whenever comedians play bad guys, now Jerry Lewis never officially played a bad guy, but he was the king of comedy.
Yes, such a good movie.
Was so creepy.
He's a bad guy in that. Oh, I mean, I guess you're supposed to feel like De Niro's character is the bad guy.
It was such a jerk. Because he has such a rich history of not being a nice person.
Yeah.
So when he had to, I give him kudos for playing that as close to the heart as he did.
Yeah, a caricature version of him. What was it, Jerry Langford?
Jerry Langford.
Yeah. It was like, Jerry. Man, it's such a good movie. Yep. King of Comedy, great so good. Scene, it's great scene. For sure, I can tell you, on Amazon Prime. Yep. So check it out, people. That movie was so intense for Robert De Niro, then we're going to move on to the next segment. At that point, they had already made him and Scorsese, Taxi Driver, Mean Streets, Raging Bull, New York, New York. That was their fifth movie together.
Wow.
And then they didn't work together again for 10 years until they did Cape Fear. Because
they got sick of each other.
No, it was the role of Rupert Pupkin, whatever his last name is. That role, it took so much out of De Niro because he was such a sociopath. That he was like, I can't. Wait, we have to separate for a while. I need to make comedy. It's like Midnight Run with Charles.
Him Berger. And Jerry Lewis, in order to get into character, he would say the most horrible anti-Semitics to there Jerry Lewis things, and Jerry Lewis took it into it until he said ready, and then he would explode.
That's amazing.
It's crazy.
So that's why after he made that movie, De Niro's like, I'm done making movies for a minute. Like, this was hard, and then he didn't work with Scorsese again until the very upbeat film of Cape Fear.
Do you like Jerry Lewis?
I was never like a Rat Pack guy. Sinatra, Lewis, stuff.
He's not a Rat Pack.
Well, I mean, Martin Lewis, all that stuff, you know, going all the way back to
Jerry
that.
Lewis was never Rat Pack.
I mean, technically, but he was part of that crew.
I don't mean to correct you publicly, but no. Jerry Lewis is a fascinating character.
Yes.
Because he is the quintessential comedian who's not happy.
That's true.
That guy was not a nice guy.
He's the he's a clown. He's Pagliacci.
He's a clown with a chainsaw.
Yeah. He's like, he goes to the doctor, I'm depressed, so what do I do? Go see Pagliacci.
He's like, I am Pagliacci.
Well, then you're fucked, Jerry Lewis. Is he dead yet? Did he die yet?
Yes, he died. Very recently.
92. I have a movie on my list on Netflix, and then we'll move on to the next segment, called Max Rose. It's his last movie.
I want to see it. It's not out yet.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, no, it's still in the green thing, whatever the green thing says.
The green?
On your...
Oh, on the disc. It's on streaming. Yeah. If you had the streaming, buddy, you could see it right away. Max Rose, it's been on streaming
for
a while.
Have you seen it yet?
Not yet. It's on my list, so watch it, though. The list is so long.
So long.
It's so long. Okay, let's wrap this thing up here, which means it's time for the lightning round. Where's that button? Here we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Here you go, Boris. I have 10 questions, and I need you to answer them as quickly as you can, and that way we're going to get inside your brain a little bit.
Good luck.
All right, here we go. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, when should kids learn the truth about Santa Claus?
As soon as possible.
Number two, what is your favorite chewing gum?
A bubble yum.
Number three, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber or Stephen Sondheim?
Sondheim.
Number four, where is the Fountain of Youth?
Not in my house.
Number five, what's up with frozen yogurt?
Hate it.
Number six, have you ever seen an Adam Sandler movie?
Yes.
Number seven, Blue Lagoons or Red Wine Spritzers?
And since I'm in recovery, Blue Lagoons.
All right, number eight, what scares you?
You.
Number nine, Depeche Mode or Duran Duran?
Duran Duran.
Number 10, war, death, famine. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
Famine.
All right, goodbye, famine. Drew, we got swag, blue bag, purple bag. Which one do you maybe want to go home with today?
Wait. You had a box.
The box comes after the bags.
Because this is how this is going down. I'm taking everything. So let's start with the box. What did I win?
Wait, you just want to straight...
I'm taking everything.
So you don't want the bag, you want to go straight to the box.
Oh, no. You don't understand. I am taking everything.
This is unheard of. This is completely unheard of.
He's making a demand. Chris. Okay, well, what are you gonna do about it?
Well, Boris, you have two bags: blue bag or green. Which of the bags do you want to take with the box?
Like you said, I have two bags, so let's see what's in the green one.
All right, the greenish, bluish one. It's actually more of a bluish.
Are you putting that behind you because they're coming, giving it next, or
you get in the bag, but then we'll see what's going on with the box.
No. All right, we got jokes and gags. Squirt camera. It's a fake camera. It'll squirt
love
water.
It.
There you go. Perfect for the gallery. Perfect for the gallery.
We've got a Pokemon Forbidden Light Sun and Moon. Three additional game cards for your Pokemon deck. Apparently,
yeah. Forbidden sounds good.
Forbidden Pokemon.
We've got a. Cinema Crest, but it's a bootleg edition of King Kong from 2005.
There you go. Oh. King Kong air horn.
We've got round balloons. There's 20 of them.
20 round balloons.
It says round balloons.
They're not triangle. No. They're not rectangle.
We've got a What's the Fuss podcast koozie.
There you go.
PFT
magnet.
And a bunch of stickers.
Bunch of stickers. Boris, usually it's bag or a box, but you're so demanding. You know what? You get the bag and you get the box. Drew, go ahead. Show him the box. Pop that top.
Because if I wasn't as horrifying as I am now, I would have taken the box.
Well, you're going to get both, so go ahead, reach in there, let people know what's inside.
It's Cool and the Gang. It's an LP called Ladies Night.
Yeah!
And so I answered the question correctly, what scares you most?
Me?
You.
Because I got a Cool and the Gang record to give away.
There you go.
You got a Cool and the Gang record as well as a swag bag.
Kyle
bag.
Eagle, I have a present for you.
Yeah, he'll appreciate some good vinyl. Absolutely. Boris, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
It was fun. Thank you, both of you.
That was a lot of fun. Drew, thank you.
Welcome, as always.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure to come to the gallery.
Come to the gallery. Fantastic. Our June 2nd, three artists.
June 2nd.
Fantastic.
6 to 9. Drew and I will be there.
1650 North Mills. You can't miss it. I will be there wearing couture.
So come hang out with us. That's take some pictures. Break up the big banks. Be excellent
cool
to each other.
Cool and the Gang will be there.
Cool and the Gang will not be there.
Pretty sure they're
they will.
Dang.
Allegedly. No. I think one of them is in jail for child molestation.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Speaking of culture.
I think that's the basis. Tom Band knows all about that.
Never mind.
Be excellent to each other. Peace out.
A PFT Media production.